Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Eric Mosley. The Cleveland Guardians traveled to Philadelphia to take on the Phillies last night and came away with a 1-0 victory. Kyle Manzardo supplied the Guards with their only run with a pitch hit solo home run in the top of the ninth. Gavin Williams got the victory with 8 shutout innings, 11 strikeouts, and no walks. The series resumes today at 4:05 with Slade Ciccone getting the start for Cleveland and Zach Wheeler taking the bump for the Phillies. The Reds and Cardinals got washed out last night in Cincinnati. They play 2 today with the Reds' Chris Paddock taking on the Cards' Andre Pallante in Game 1. Game 2 sees Kyle Leahy on the mound for the Redbirds and Chase Petty with the start for Cincy. Catch the action right here on The Fan starting at 12:40. In the NBA playoffs, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander led Oklahoma City to a 2-1 series lead over San Antonio with a 128-108 victory in the Western Conference Finals. Game 4 in that series takes place Sunday. Breaking sports news when it happens on The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Fan is live and local with Fan Sports Saturday. The Fan Sports Day of the Week. Oh, this is some clever branding. Here's your host, Place Name Here.
The names you're placing here are the same names you placed last week. It's Tito, it's Michael Bennett, it's Big Mo here on a Saturday. Fan Sports Saturday. Good morning, Michael Bennett.
It's good to be back, Tito. Good to be back. We got a happy Saturday. Oh. Another weekend of no yard work. What could be better?
Oh, God, it's perfect. Lines of people, I hate that it rains on the weekend. No, I don't hate that it rains on the weekend, so I'm okay with it. It's okay with
it. It's a good sleepy Saturday. Maybe play some smooth jazz over the radio.
Listen to that.
Can we do
that? What we should do. Yes, we should. 10-second increments, right?
Yeah. How much smooth jazz can you really listen to for an extended period of time?
It's mood music today. It is.
I mean, smooth jazz feels like it would be something to either make me go to sleep or if I was trying to be with a lady.
There we go. Both options for Saturday.
And actually,
both good ideas both for good Saturday. Ideas. Saturday.
You made those sound like bad options. I think those are both.
It's great.
I'm 55 years old. Those sound about equal to me at this point in time. 20 years ago, it might have a different answer. 55 years old, it's like, you know what? Good naps up there. That ranks up there pretty well. Big show lineup for you. Lots to talk about. Big Mo there, your first sports update you've done here. It's not called sports update. What do we call it now?
The fan update.
Fan update, okay. Because it used to be we were affiliated with ESPN. But I thought it was smooth. It was professional. If you ever want to hear how to do a battle, I don't think they have any of mine left. But there's one of Tim Hall when he comes rushing into, like he messed something, like this is very early on, but like the printer wasn't working. And these are back when there were 90-second ones we had to do. And he comes running down, springing in the studio. You can find the dad somewhere if you want to, but he is out of breath. He's repeating himself. He's trying to wing it. Rick or Dye's like, hey, dude, you're having a stroke over there. Are you okay? You know, he tells Tim's like, it's just like that. And when I used to do them sometimes, Rick or Dye would get into my ear and make like animal sounds that only I could hear to try to mess with me.
Yeah, I'm trying to see if it's in there under his name. I don't see it, but if I find it.
You know, now that he's like moved up in the world, he probably deleted it knowing him. That's what he probably did. Anyway.
Well, we all start somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
And we all have made a mistake or 10.
Yes.
As we've come up through this business.
Yes. Like I say, big show lining for you today. Reds and Cardinals, PPD yesterday. They'll do a day-night doubleheader today in Cincinnati. That's why we are done early today. Michael and I get out of here with 12:40 or so, I think, is when the pregame will start there. Guards beat the Phillies 1-0. They're in Philly today at 4:05. In the NHL last night, John Tortorella.
He's on a run.
Vegas Golden Knights. They beat Colorado 3-1 on the road. They're up 2-0 now with 2 road wins in a row for the Golden Knights. And tonight we've got at 7 o'clock Montreal at Carolina. Montreal won the first one on the road there. They lead the series 1-0. That game's at 7 o'clock. NBA, Oklahoma City, San Antonio last night. OKC gets out of there with a 123-108 win. It's now 2-1 in that series. Oklahoma City in the lead. Knicks and Cavs. Tonight at 8 o'clock in Cleveland, Knicks lead that series 2-0.
That's been a tough matchup for the Cavs.
It has been.
I think everybody kind of knew the Knicks were a little bit overpowered, but you can have some hope. It's just if you're relying on James Harden in the postseason, it's probably not going to happen.
You know, and that's the thing. Like they had the thing was they had that 22-point lead with less than 8 minutes left in game one. They got outscored 44-11 the rest of the way.
Yeah. What can you do against it? That's a morale killer too.
Yeah, and that's why that was their shot. If they could steal a win there, I think things are a lot different now. And I know that they, this is their first home game now. They're down 2-0. I know they've been down. They were down to Detroit 3-1 and came back and won that series. So it's not completely impossible, but it's going to take. It is quite the task now. And with James Harden, I looked up the stat the other day. He's played in 17 career postseasons. And he is 11-6 in round one, 6-11 in every other round.
Yeah, that's not what he does. He's a regular season killer. He's an incredible basketball player, but I don't think anybody's ever argued that James Harden is just a playoff phenom. Like that's just not what he does for whatever reason.
Yeah, and it was tough to watch too because the Knicks in game one, when they were rallying, they were just going right at him. They didn't care.
Yeah.
They were going right at him. And he couldn't do anything about it. And I don't know if I've, and I'm trying to think about this, if I've ever seen a Hall of Fame player, because he'll be in the Hall of Fame someday, ever seen a Hall of Fame player struggle that much over career in the postseason?
It's odd, right? You have to think it's something mental, because when we start talking about the greats and all of these incredible scores, James Harden's name is up there, but nobody will ever say that James Harden is a guy that you want on your team in the postseason, for whatever, like when KD went to Brooklyn.
Yeah.
You would think between James Harden and KD, that's a formidable team, and they're just getting knocked around like it's nothing. I don't think either of them, I don't know, I'm not going to say they're not competitors,
because
they are,
but
I don't think either of them has what it takes to be that competitive over seven-game stretches against the best talent in the NBA.
For a long time in his career, LeBron was kind of labeled that way for not being able. It wasn't necessarily because statistically he still put up good numbers, but it seemed like in the postseason and clutch moments, he would not come through. Missing a shot, you know, things like that, make a mistake, whatever it was. And it wasn't totally his fault. He played on inferior teams there with Cleveland for a lot of those years. Look at some of the starting lineups they had when they would go to battle with some of these squads in the second rounds and conference championships and whatnot. It was he was already behind the eight ball before the series even started. But so LeBron kind of had that moniker for a while before he finally, you know, broke through and won a couple with the Heat, before the one with the Cavs and one with the Lakers. But even still, even though they didn't win like people thought that he probably should early in his career in the postseason, he still played well. He did miss clutch shots, but he still played well. I just, I struggle to think of somebody else who, now sometimes you get a guy who's a Hall of Fame career, has like one shot in the postseason and doesn't do well. You know, and that's, but the fact that Harden's had this many bites at the apple, though, and is still doing this, more turnovers and field goals made in like more than half his playoff games, it's ridiculous.
That's what I see when I watch him, though. Like I said, like, he's fun to watch. He's going to sell tickets. People are going to come out to watch him, but he's not somebody that I put my confidence in. And to your point, LeBron, I think a lot of that was just people needed something to criticize LeBron on. Because he was almost, you don't want to diminish the guys too much, but he was almost single-handedly taking those Cleveland Cavs teams to the finals by himself as a young NBA star. It just, you can go back and watch. I'll be the first one to admit, I have sat there on YouTube and watched hours of LeBron highlights.
Yeah.
Just, not even just highlights. I've just watched old Cavs games.
Right.
Just because I feel like people don't understand how good this guy was, how dominant he was for the stretch of time he was on because his team was garbage, and why he left the Cavs, because the owners wouldn't build around him when he was able to get them to the finals almost every single year.
That's always my argument too. And I've given up on saying who's better, LeBron or Michael LeBron. You can't,
it's
impossible to compare. Just like you throw Kareem into the mix too, if you want to. You can throw Bird and
Bill Russell. Yeah.
Yes. All these guys, there's no way we are ever going to have a definitive answer on who the better player was. But I always defend LeBron, like you just said, because people said, oh, he had to leave to win a title, couldn't win in Cleveland. I had to go form a super team. You know what? Do you know why Michael Jordan did not leave Chicago? Because the front office formed a super team with the savvy drafting.
Yeah.
Drafting Scottie Pippen at the time, by the way, if you look in the draft, he was named Scott Pippen, who they drafted Scott Pippen. And getting Horace Grant,
Yep.
I mean, the Bulls could Dennis not do anything for that. Then later on, the next iteration, getting Dennis Rodman, you had guys like Steve Kerr in there. But they go through, though, Tony Kukoc. But the Bulls front office helped create a championship team. Cleveland's front office did none of that.
Yeah.
Fat Shaq, Fat Sean Kemp, or whatever. Not Sean Kemp, but, you know, Antoine Jameson was like your best player for a while.
Vergeau.
Yeah, Vergeau. I mean, it's just, it was not a championship caliber team. So I don't criticize LeBron for leaving because of how much we as sports fans put on. Because what do you say about Charles Barkley? Barkley was a great, great ass player, fantastic player. But, oh, never won a title, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Dan Marino, great quarterback, never won a title, though. And so we put this on these guys, and so they have to sometimes go do it, because if LeBron had stayed in Cleveland with the way the front office was doing things, they may have never won a title.
That's what gets me about these team sports is people, you know, we really want to just break it down into one superstar, one hero who does all of these things. You can do that for like shot put, Usain Bolt or something that. You know, you can't tell me this is the greatest sprinter ever if you haven't won a whole bunch of gold medals. But for a team sport, you need so many pieces around you, so many supporting characters. And yeah, you can look at, you know, maybe some of these players like Harden or I don't know, even Westbrook or something where you say, all right, listen, we put these guys on a pedestal to a certain extent. They need to be able to take the game over in crunch time, but you have to have that support. Like the OKC San Antonio battle right now.
Yeah.
I don't know why I'm rooting for San Antonio. Right. I have no dog in that fight.
Right.
I like seeing Wemby. I like believing in heroes, but OKC is a better team.
Yeah.
They're just from top to bottom. I don't even think Shai is necessarily that impressive to watch. I think he's a very sound basketball player. Mm-hmm. I think he's shifty. He's consistently a good shot.
Yeah.
But I think that the reason that they're able to overcome Wemby consistently is because it's mostly just Wemby over in San Antonio. He's got some help.
Sure.
But not to the extent, not as well-oiled machine as OKC. But then if OKC wins the, you know, the finals, they're going to say Shai Gilgeous-Alexander did it by himself, and he was the greatest thing ever.
The and then the other thing on LeBron, too, that I will say is that, and I don't know how much, I'm not going to sit here and say LeBron is eligible for sainthood, because I don't know what all
I'd
goes on.
I'd back you up on that. I'd be your second.
Okay, I'm saying, like, I don't know what all, but all I know is it doesn't get, there's no scandal.
Yeah.
For how long that dude's been out of the spotlight?
Since he was like 14.
Yes. Yeah. And now, granted, some of his, he put the spotlight on himself. I'm not saying it was, but like,
no. So,
but the spotlight, though, has been on him since then. No athlete in history has had the spotlight on him for that long and that bright and not had something, either a drug thing, an assault thing, you know.
Michael Jordan was gambling.
Yeah. Baby mama's thing. Like, none of that stuff. The worst thing was the decision.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that, like I said, they're reaching. The only other athlete I can think of is Lionel Messi.
Okay.
But he doesn't put himself out there as much as LeBron puts himself out there.
Right.
Like for, I think, 15 years of watching soccer, I'd only heard that man's voice like twice.
Right. Yeah.
But LeBron is always, you know, they're looking to break him down.
Right. And so it's that, and like when he comes out in Miami, the one thing he made, the one press conference to him. And this is why it's just so minor when he talked about how everyone out there is complaining about they'll have the same personal problems tomorrow they had today. He made that comment when they did the whole not two, not three, not four, not five, not six, not seven, not eight, that whole thing. Yeah. But that's it.
I still remember when he was pretending to read and people were getting on him about that. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do remember
that. I don't care if LeBron can read. He knows that people, like little kids are watching him and he needs to show that reading is important. But they were trying to drag him for that.
I want to know who is going to pay him $100 million to read.
Exactly.
I mean, seriously. Yeah.
We all have our talents, right?
Yeah. Play basketball for $100 million or read for $100 million.
Kids, make sure you read, but unless you're LeBron. Yeah.
Make sure you can read the contract.
Yeah.
Off and running here on a Saturday. Coming up next, where's Ben Johnson when you need him? We'll do that next. This is Fan Sports Saturday on the...
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Chip and Dom to Barry. Dom remembers when Bo was a young whippersnapper. And Bo remembers when Dom wasn't part ape.
And then Yolanda one time wanted to wax my knuckles.
Tuesdays with to Barry.
Sponsored by Green & Sons.
Tuesdays at 10:30 on The Fan. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
A few showers possible early Saturday, becoming more scattered throughout the day as temperatures warm into the mid-70s later. Then a few scattered showers, possibly a thunderstorm late afternoon through the early evening. We dry out overnight, and the first half of Sunday stays dry as well as temperatures rise to about 80 degrees. But a stray shower or thunderstorm can't be ruled out Sunday afternoon either. A stray shower is possible. I'm meteorologist Mike Joyce on 97.1 The Fan.
There's nothing Bo Bishop can't do well, except find competent co-hosts. Bishop and Friends.
Weekdays from 9 to noon.
The Fan. Just because it's the weekend doesn't mean we shut up. This is Fan Sports Saturday.
Yeah, good luck getting me to ever shut up. Talk to my wife about that. Anyway, the enhanced games are going on this weekend, Michael. And funny is the wrong word. Interesting that they're trying to see how far they can push the human body with using enhancements. The way they're doing it is it's happening in Las Vegas, and it's a series of competitions: track, swimming, weightlifting. The athletes can say which drugs they want to use, which ones they're going to use, or if they don't want to use them. Some are, I guess, when they're clean. Which is interesting to try that, yes. But then if you set a world record in anything, then you get like $1 million bonus, I think is what it is, if you can set a world record in something. So the enhanced games, though, Saturday Night Live, before all of this, they had something like this on there. They did a thing on when they were doing Weekend Update talking about a steroid user trying to set a world record weightlifting. It's we'll play the audio from it. If you ever check out the video, go look. It's Phil Hartman. It's also
what its sponsors claim is an idea whose time has come. The first all drug Olympics opened today in Bogota, Colombia. Athletes are allowed to take any substance whatsoever before, after, and even during the competition. So far, 115 world records have been shattered. We go now to correspondent Kevin Nealon live in Bogota for the weightlifting finals. Kevin.
Dennis, getting ready to lift now is Sergei Akhmudov of the Soviet Union. His trainer has told me that he's taken anabolic steroids, Novocaine, NyQuil, Darvon, and some sort of fish paralyzer. Also, I believe he's had several cocktails within the last hour or so. All of this, of course, is perfectly legal at the All-Drug Olympics. In fact, it's encouraged. Akhmudov is getting set now. He's going for a clean and jerk of over 1,500 pounds, which would triple the existing world record. That's an awful lot of weight, Dennis, and here he goes.
Oh, he's pulled his arms off! He's pulled his arms off! That's got to be disappointing to the big Russian. You know, you hate to see something like this happen, Dennis. He probably doesn't have that much pain right now, but I think tomorrow he's really going to feel that, Dennis. Back to you.
Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you. Thank you, Kevin. Thank you. Very nice form on the Russian. Thank you, Kevin.
So, winners of each event will get $250,000. They do in this thing for all the sprint. Every sprint world record over 50 meters in freestyle in the pool and 100 meter sprint on the track, you get $1 million if you set a record there. Are you intrigued by this?
I think it'll be entertaining. I don't think we're going to see a world record.
You don't think?
Unless maybe in weightlifting.
Okay.
I don't know if these guys are, or guys and women, are going to be just using steroids in their training, or if they're going to do blood doping. Maybe that'll be more beneficial for swimming or track. But weightlifting, I think, is one of those where steroids are probably going to help you quite a bit, and where you can overcome maybe a lack of general athleticism. While swimming and track, it's like, yeah, steroids is great, but you need to have the athleticism that goes with it to really maximize its potential.
Ben Johnson, famously, I mentioned, and I may have dated myself in that. Did I date myself in that tease? I probably did, didn't I?
So
yeah, it was 1988 Olympics.
I remember it.
I know, me too, but we were...
We were, yeah.
I wasn't here yet.
I know you weren't, Michael.
You were wondering.
Here yet. I know. Ben Johnson ran a 9.89. Is that what the number? Remember the Sports Illustrated cover, right? 9.89.
Yeah.
To beat Carl Lewis in the Olympics, and then later tested positive and.
Which you'd never know it by looking at him. Well, he looked like a weightlifter running in a 100-meter dash against Carl Lewis, who looked like a sprinter.
Yeah, and Lewis was so fast. He was so shocked. You can see the look on Lewis's face. Was so shocked when he sees what Johnson was able to pull off there. But it turns out, obviously, he was tainted. So I wonder, what will happen there? How many world records will be set? And is it good or bad if world records are set?
Well, I think my question is, if I'm an athlete that goes to the Olympics, all of those things, and compete for world records, Olympic gold medals, I'm not always guaranteed $1 million.
Right.
So you go to this, you're allowed to use whatever, I guess, within reason. Mm-hmm. And if you break a world record, you may get an asterisk by your name in public or in the record books, but you're getting $1 million. Like, that would make me, if I was that level of athlete, that would make me pause for just a second. And it really does bring it down to how much integrity you have.
Right.
Or how, if I can make money and maybe that enhancement will give me just enough to get that world. I'm already one of the top ones, but I get that enhancement just enough. Now, me personally, I'd like to think I have enough morals I wouldn't do that. But I think it at least gives you pause.
I feel like, to your point, if you're an elite athlete, like you're already competing for Olympic medals and stuff. Like you said, there are some people in here who are competing clean.
Yeah.
If you think you're going to be better than all of these people, even when they're juiced up, why not go after that $1 million?
Yeah.
You can treat it almost as a training session. You're still going to be getting tested and everything for your actual Olympic career. But yeah, go get you $1 million and show them that, you're just a better athlete.
Like you, Mo, I would like to think that my morals would win out. I'm telling you right now, though, I also know me. if you told me that if I took this, I would have a 5-year career playing in the NBA or Major League Baseball, I would do it in a heartbeat.
I'll tell you this. So in the NFL, I struggled from injury issues.
Whatever you're saying right now, please don't vacate any wins.
No,
care if it's in the NFL.
I won't say it's in a regret of mine, but okay. I never did any PEDs or anything like that. But and they didn't really talk about it in the NFL. Okay. Nobody would come out and say, I'm doing steroids. You want some?
Right.
So I don't know who was ever doing them or anything, but you can kind of tell who was doing them by who was getting popped and having those 4-game suspensions.
Right.
So I think it's well known that Brian Cushing was on the juice.
Yeah.
Like, he, every single year, 4-game suspension, incredible season. Game suspension, incredible season.
He also looked really angry.
He did look really angry, but guess what? I think his career earnings are over like $40 million.
Right, yeah.
I know I had a teammate one time who was a good athlete. Mm-hmm. He was good the season before. He comes back off an off season. He's got acne all over him.
Right.
And he's just performing like absolutely incredibly. Gets popped for something, 4-game suspension, goes out and has the best season of his life, $30 million deal. So there's, you can get on the morals thing and you can be a Michael Bennett who goes out there and is just breaking his body left and right. Or you could do those, you could just do a little something, one cycle off season and go and get yourself on a contract year. I saw that plenty of times where, once again, it's not confirmed. Maybe their trainer really did slip something in. Maybe they really did just try a new protein powder and they didn't know, but it's a payday.
But Michael, can you look yourself in the mirror?
Well, no, but for other reasons.
I was going to say, can you even afford the mirror?
Right. Yes, exactly. I can look myself in the mirror in a much bigger house and be okay with it. Yes.
Yeah, there's a certain level of pride to be able to get to. Absolutely, a certain level, but the money really, you really do get rewarded for maybe not being the most upstanding person.
That's what, and I criticize Barry Bonds all the time and Roger Clemens and those guys, the ones that are clearly known for, the same thing, Lance Armstrong, like those kinds of things. I criticize them, but it's also much easier to criticize them when I've never had to make that decision.
Yeah.
I consider saying it to them, but I feel a bit, a bit of a hypocrite because, like I said, I know me, and I know if somebody said to me, like, hey, I'm going to give you this shot, you might take 5 years off your life, but you will have an NBA career for 5 years or NFL career for 5 years, I'd say, you know what? Here's my ass cheek.
It's a tough hypothetical.
I'll show my ass cheek for less than that.
My wife would want me to take a different kind of shot. That's a totally different thing.
Yes, that's podcast worthy. Yeah. Coming up next in 2 minutes, one of them's a moron, maybe both of them, but we'll hear from both of them next. Talk about what they had to say. A couple of college football coaches, that's next. Fan Sports Saturday on the Fan.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Here at The Fan, it's always football o'clock. Proud to be your home of the Buckeyes, Browns, and all the NFL games you can handle. The Fan. Instead of annoying national people talking to you this weekend, we've opted for annoying local people. This is Fan Sports Saturday.
Fan Sports Saturday, Tito, Michael Bennett, Big Mo with you here until about 12:40 before the Reds and Cardinals start a doubleheader. Mo, you and I were old. I hate day and night doubleheaders. Just give the kids 2 games at one in 1 day. You know what I mean? Don't clear out the stadium and do it again.
Have you ever been to one?
No.
So, at my former radio station, we went and covered it would have been the Indians, day-night doubleheader, and it was a midweek one. So, I believe they were playing the Blue Jays, and there was 2 of us that went. We thought it'd be great, and they actually put us in one of the broadcast booths, like the single...
Just you guys.
Yeah. So it was really nice. Like we were the only ones in our booth and whatnot. And we did a podcast from up there. I'll tell you what might be the longest day. I love sports, but that is the longest day I've ever had. And then they had all kinds of things go wrong. They had, you know, food for the media and whatnot. And, Tyler Danberg's father, Curtis Danberg, is the one that handles all that for the Guardians. And they had like pizza ovens break down. He had media members getting mad and it was just ridiculous. I swore, I was like, I will never, ever go to a doubleheader ever again.
I know I'm not going to a doubleheader because I haven't been to a Major League Baseball game in person since maybe middle school when they were giving away free Reds tickets.
Right. Yeah.
It's not my scene as much. And I like baseball. I love a minor league baseball game.
Oh yeah.
That's my favorite.
Going to Clippers is great.
Oh, yeah. Clippers. I think it was the Shrimpers down in Jacksonville, or the big jumbo shrimp or something like that.
Yeah.
I loved going to those games, but yeah, a Major League Baseball game is just not really my speed.
Steve Sarkisian.
Speaking of not your speed,
yeah. Right? Don't get me started, Tito.
Okay, so Steve Sarkisian, obviously the head coach over at Texas, and he made a comment this week that he looked at Texas Tech's schedule for the upcoming season, Texas Tech in the Big 12, and he said, and this is just that he thinks he could take his 2 and 3s, his second team and third teamers, with that schedule and go undefeated.
Yeah, congrats, Steve.
Texas Tech plays Abilene Christian. Okay, give you that one. At Oregon State. All right. They host Houston. Host Sam Houston, if the other Houston. Sam Houston and Houston both. At Colorado. Host Arizona State. They're ranked probably 23rd, I think is what it says here. At Cincinnati. Host Arizona. Host West Virginia. At Oklahoma State, who sucks. At Baylor. Host TCU. And then potentially Big 12 championship. But what I found funny about that, Michael, was that he says this. Let's see. There's a team in our state and another conference with a schedule. I would argue if I played with our 2s and 3s, we'd go undefeated, and they'll probably make the CFP this year. Texas last year with their 1s couldn't beat a 4-8 Florida team.
Yeah. Nobody's... Tito, what are we talking about? Why? First of all, why bring that up when you're supposed to be a powerhouse of a team? Uh-huh. You're supposed to be one of the top 5 teams in the country perennial, you know, every single year. Who cares what Texas Tech's schedule is? Who cares if they make the college football playoff? That sounds like he's already making excuses because he knows Texas is going to underperform this year.
Yes. And so I don't know, Sarkisian, it's, you don't lose to Florida last year and then go out and do that.
Yeah.
You know, you can't make that comment.
Why are you looking at Texas Tech's schedule?
Right.
Why are you worried about Texas Tech? Also, the fact that he even commented on it aside, I don't think his twos and threes are going to go undefeated against that schedule.
I don't think they are either. It's not as easy as you might think.
Yeah, there are some gimmies in there, but like Cincinnati, Houston, Colorado, West Virginia, Baylor, TCU, I don't think those are Arizona. I don't think those are gimmies for Texas Tech's twos and threes. Or Texas's twos and threes.
Right. Another one in that same conference in the SEC, Lane Kiffin. He told Pardon My Take. He was saying that in the SEC against the Big Ten, he said, our bottom is harder than theirs. And when I said that in front of Bobby Carpenter, he made quite the comment. It was
That's exactly where I was going.
You teed him up for that one.
That's right in Carp's wheelhouse, something like that. This is what Kiffin said on to Pardon My Take. There's a lot that goes into that. I think it's set up a good way for the top-heavy teams there right now, and it's going to get better. We're going to 9 games, and our bottom is harder than theirs, speaking of the SEC and Big Ten. And our bottom stadiums are harder to play in than theirs. So we're going to beat each other up more, and they're going to sit up there and have 2 or 3 hard games a year. So they're top teams and our top teams, and they go to the playoffs. They're in better shape, and that stuff matters. When he says they're in better shape, maybe better record-wise, but it doesn't mean that the Big Ten, if you're telling me the Big Ten is top-heavy and gets a couple of bye weeks because of weak teams they play in the Big Ten, I would think that hurts the Big Ten come playoff time.
Yeah, and what are we talking about, the top and the bottom? Are we talking about the top two? Are we talking about the top six, top ten? Because we've had 3 different Big Ten teams win the title in the last 3 years.
Right.
So, you know, it's not just Ohio State anymore. That's what they used to say.
Yeah.
You know, and now we've got Ohio State, Michigan, who I don't think is going to be up there for, you know, I don't think they're going to be up there. Indiana, Oregon, and then, you know, we've got a couple that used to be pretty solid who have been struggling, like Wisconsin, USC.
Yeah.
You know, maybe I was never been up there, but they're a tough game. I think it's such a cop out when these SEC guys keep changing, moving the goalposts to talk about, oh, back in the day it was the SEC's a better conference because Alabama's winning every freaking title.
Sure.
And then now it's like, well, Kentucky's better than Purdue. I don't know that they are.
How much of this is all a response to what Kirby Smart said a month ago? I mean, this is now he threw that out there. Mm-hmm. He got that ball rolling. And initially, I think the media were like, oh, wow, you need to just shut your mouth, Kirby. Now it feels like they're circling the wagons and like, well, yeah.
Because they suck.
Yeah,
because
exactly.
The SEC is not good anymore.
We'll do an exercise later on. We'll go through and compare Big Ten and SEC teams. And we'll do this later on in the show. We'll do the final segment or final hour of the program. I want both of you to weigh in on which, I'll give you a couple of schools. You know, I want you to compare and we'll see which ones you'd rather be right now. But the other part, Kiffin said that schedule where half your games, that Big Ten schedule he means, where half your games you don't have to get up for. Many of your good players are out by the fourth quarter, so your play count at the end of the year is less. One of the really good teams that have rested their good players in conference games at the end of the year. And the SEC famously does that deal where they have a bye week near the end of the season where they're playing like Samford, Samford, or someone like that. Or they're playing some weak team in between, like rivalry. That's a game you can rest your players as well.
Yep.
And so, you know, we can argue, we'll look at it, and we'll look at what, you know, Kiffin's thoughts on that as far as the Big Ten and SEC and where the differences are. But but like I say, with the SEC, when they do those things, you'll look at their schedules. Look what Alabama does every year before like the Auburn game or whatever. It's some weak team they play where they get it. It's essentially a bye week late in the season, and they have a bye week early in the season. That's 2 bye weeks really for them because they don't have to play any starters to beat some of those teams they're playing there at the end of the season until you get the rivalry week. But you're right. The SEC is moving the goalpost because the game has changed now. Before, when the SEC, and I say this confidently, with reckless speculation. How about that?
Okay.
That the SEC was paying players more and more often than the Big Ten was.
Yeah.
And that's when the SEC, there was no guardrails, no rules that were being enforced. And now that it's everyone's paying everybody now and people are paying coaches more and whatnot, that's how the Big Ten is
surprised. Surprise, surprise, right?
Yeah, right.
When you level the playing field.
Yes.
I'll also say it's not just that the Big Ten is winning the titles. Where the Big Ten's also been dominating the playoffs.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if there was, I'm trying to think of who the SEC team was that went the furthest last year, but it was Big Ten and Miami.
Right.
Dominating the playoffs. The year before that was similar, where the best SEC team was a team that joined the SEC 2 years ago.
Right. So exactly.
I get so sick of hearing about the SEC and how they're, you know, still on top and all this kind of stuff. I don't as soon as Saban left, the SEC fell off.
Well, and Tito, you're hitting it right on the head there. It's a equal playing field now. Mm-hmm. Everybody gets to pay their players. And now all we've heard from the SEC is just a bunch of
That's what it is. You're right, man.
I mean, that sounds like Kirby Smart.
That does. That does. But yeah, so we'll like I say, later on the show, we will do this. We'll have it on the show. I had like might have been the final segment. Yeah, where we're going to do one of the final segments. It's the second, but around a little after noon. And we will do that. We'll compare some of the Big Ten schools to SEC and see which one you would rather be. Coming up next, former Buckeye Jamal Luke. He's got a new book out. We're going to talk to him about that. He was on that 02 national championship team. Jamal Luke joins us next right here, Fan Sports Saturday.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
How many different ways can you consume morning juice?
Let's see.
Live on YouTube, live on the Fans HD3 podcast on demand, and on 10TV Plus.
And we'll send Bobby right to your house.
Weekday mornings from 6 to 8.
The Fan.
The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Patriot Air Comfort Systems and Bryant.
Doing whatever it takes to keep your home comfortable.
The Fan.
Sports talk, weekend style. You're listening to Fan Sports Saturday.
Fan Sports Saturday. It's Tito. It's Michael Bennett. It's Big Mo. One third of us are national champions. We're about to change that ratio, though. The percentage is about to be one half as we bring on Jamal Luke. He was on the 02 national championship team. Author Jamal Luke joins us now. Purpose behind the playbook, lessons from a champion's life, how to win when the game changes. Good morning, Jamal. Thanks for taking the time to talk to us. And there's a special on your book right now, right, on the ebook side of things?
Yeah, absolutely. We just launched today. It is available for 99 cents today. Today only for 99 cents. Price will go up after today, but we wanted to make it 99 cents today as a special launch special. So go get your copy today. A lot of heart, a lot of soul, a lot of passion put into this project, and I truly believe it'll help elevate every area of your life.
The worst thing I can say about Jamal Luke is he went to Beechcroft, but that's okay. I'm not going to bring that up on the show today, Jamal. What led you to this book? What led you to write this book?
Honestly, Tito, this book was birthed out of a lot of trials and tribulations just through life. Went through multiple divorces, went through some job loss, some business failures, and really just led me to a place where I started journaling for the first time in my adult life. And as I started the journaling process a couple years ago, I just realized that I had so much inside of me that I felt I needed to get out. And I never thought in my life that I would write a book, but just through journaling, I was like, you know what, let me kind of piece this together in a book because there was so much to get out. And from there, I just started writing. This was about 4 years ago, and had many stops and starts along the way, and just really decided at the end of 2025 to finish what I started. And here we are, May of 26, we're out and live.
Jamal, it's always great to talk to a fellow Buckeye. I'm on your website right now, gobeyondthegame.org, and it's awesome to see how many events and programs you have. Could you help us? Was there a mentor or a moment that really inspired you to start giving back to the community the way that you are?
Absolutely, Mike. It's always a pleasure to connect with you as well, brother. Honestly, Coach Tress was the first for me. You know, Coach Tress was the first coach I ever had football wise that kind of coached and led from the inside out. And so he was the first coach that really stressed the importance of serving your community, being the best possible person you could be, and how in doing that, the rest would take care of itself. And so Coach Tress laid the foundation with that mindset. And then once football was over for me, that was just a mindset that I continued to carry, is how can I help myself be the highest, best possible version of myself, but then also how could I help others become the best possible version of themselves as well. So I was always looking for avenues, which led me into becoming a speaker, which led me into becoming a mentor for others, but just always looking for other avenues to help people be the highest, best possible version of themselves. But Coach Tress was really the first person that laid that foundation for me from a life standpoint.
Former Buckeye Jamal Luke joins us now. He's on the 2002 National Championship team. Purpose Behind the Playbook, Lessons from a Champion's Life, How to Win When the Game Changes is his book available right now. It's an ebook available for 99 cents today only. Go check it out. You're not going to beat that deal anywhere. And like he said, the price will go up after today. So go check it out now while you can. 99 cents is all it will cost you. You mentioned some of the things you went through that led you to journaling. Is there a point, and there might not be, so it's okay if the answer is no on this, but like a rock bottom moment for you. You said, you know what, this isn't working, and I've got to change it now. Because did an event happen? Something happened? Do you have like any kind of like, you know, an epiphany kind of moment in your life where you said, I've got to do something about this?
Yeah, there was actually a couple of those points, but one major one was I was at a point in my life, I had went all in on a business venture that went belly up, and it left me in a position where my car was repossessed. I had an eviction notice on my door, and I was actually at a grocery store with my oldest daughter, who just turned 18, just graduated high school. But at the time, she was maybe 5 years old, but I was at the grocery store with her trying to get some food for us, and my card got declined, and I had to put some groceries back. And I remember sitting in my car with all those things happening simultaneously. I remember sitting in my car and just crying. She was in the back seat, and I remember like it was yesterday, just saying to myself, this will never happen again. And that was one moment, but there were several moments. But though those moments build something inside of you to where you're either just going to fold up shop and quit, or you're going to figure it out. And I chose to figure it out. And the power of figuring it out is once you continue to take action towards the life that you want most, as you continue to achieve and build your way back up, now you look back and you understand that there's nothing that can stop you unless you choose to be stopped, because I've already been to the bottom and I've come back. And so once you have that comeback story, so to speak, you realize that you're truly unstoppable if you put your mind to it and you continue to take action towards what you want most.
Jamal, I love hearing how you are able to, you know, overcome adversity. Obviously, wish you didn't have to go through the adversity, but, you know, life throws crazy stuff at us. And this will be a little bit of a sneak peek into your book, but could you tell us how your experience at Ohio State and your experience as an athlete kind of instilled some of those lessons in you on how to, you know, when you're looking just the struggle in the face, when you're looking adversity in the face, how do you stay up? Because I know for a lot of people out there listening, it can really weigh you down and bog you down with just the hardships of life. Can you talk to people just a little bit about what prepared you from sports to be able to overcome some of the difficulties that you faced?
Yeah, absolutely, Mike. I think a lot of it is the journey. I think everybody's journey in life is really preparing them for the rest of their life, whatever their next step may be. And so for me, my journey of even how I got to Ohio State, which I detail in the book, I'll kind of give the Cliff Note version here, but my journey of how I even got to Ohio State is what prepared me to handle those adversities that would come later in my life that I obviously didn't know were going to arrive. So, you know, I wasn't a highly recruited athlete to Ohio State. I wasn't the guy that, you know, had the five hats on the table and pulled out the Ohio State hat at the last second on signing day. You know, I started off at a Division II school before the transfer portal was even a thought. You know, started off at Tiffin University, and I transferred from Tiffin after my freshman season and had to walk on at Ohio State the hard way with no guarantees, no promises, really just on faith and chasing my dream. And having going through that process and then winning the national championship and lettering my senior year, so my journey and my process and handling and facing all of that adversity and having to rely on faith, that's what prepared me for what would come later in my life. And I believe every person has that same story where there's things you've accomplished or there's things you've had to face in your life that I haven't had to face in mine. But because it was brought to you in your life, there's a reason that it played out that way for you. And if you allow it to, that journey that is unique to you is what is preparing you for your next step in life.
It is Purpose Beyond the Playbook, Lessons from a Champion's Life, How to Win When the Game Changes. Folks, go 99 cents, go check it out. Get the ebook today. It is the best thing you can buy today for 99 cents. The price goes up after day. Go check it out. I kid you about the Beechcroft thinks I'm a Haven boy. But look, I got to tell you this, Jamal, as a fellow city leaguer, you know, I'm very honored to know you and that you're doing all these great things out there for other people, all the things you overcame. It's a fantastic story. And, you know, best of luck to you. And I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us today.
Absolutely. I appreciate y'all for having me on. And go Bucks. Love y'all.
Go Bucks. There we go. Let's Jamal. Look, go 99 cents, folks. Seriously. Like I would say the where things are free are the Costco samples, but you got to spend money on gas to get out there. Yeah. You can sit on your ass right now and order this book for 99 cents. It doesn't cost you any gas.
If you go on the Amazon webpage, yes, and you like look at just what he's talking about in the book, he says break free from external expectations and learn how to define success in your own terms. Develop championship habits that translate into success. Build discipline and clarity. Turn adversity into fuel. I mean, come on. For 99 cents, go. I think that's a...
Yes.
It's a great value for your life.
Go do it. So, Jamal Luke, love talking to him. And by the way, I the first time I met him, he's one of those guys that just has kind of a glow. Like, he's one of those guys that just... He's just... Positive energy comes off him. I don't know how to explain it, like, other than that, but there's positive energy there with Jamal Luke. So, best of luck to him, and please go check out that book. Coming up next, did another former Buckeye put a bullseye on his coach's back? We'll do that. Fan Sports Saturday on The Fan.
If the sound of another man slammed against plexiglass turns you on, you've come to the right place. Proud to be your home for Jackets hockey. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Have you ever considered...
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Testing live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios, driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Eric Mosley. The Cleveland Guardians traveled to Philadelphia to take on the Phillies last night and came away with a 1-0 victory. Kyle Manzardo supplied the Guards with their only run with a pitch hit solo home run in the top of the ninth. Gavin Williams got the victory with 8 shutout innings, 11 strikeouts, and no walks. The series resumes today at 4:05 with Slade Ciccone getting the start for Cleveland and Zach Wheeler taking the bump for the Phillies. The Reds and Cardinals got washed out last night in Cincinnati. They play 2 today with the Reds' Chris Paddock taking on the Cards' Andre Pallante in Game 1. Game 2 sees Kyle Leahy on the mound for the Redbirds and Chase Petty with the start for Cincy. Catch the action right here on The Fan starting at 12:40. In the NBA playoffs, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander led Oklahoma City to a 2-1 series lead over San Antonio with a 128-108 victory in the Western Conference Finals. Game 4 in that series takes place Sunday. Breaking sports news when it happens on The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Showing weekend programming,
pants are optional.
Look at my butt!
However, leather chairs may have been a bad choice. You're listening to Fan Sports Saturday.
All right, Fan Sports Saturday. Thank you, Jamal Luke, for joining us. Writing his new book. 99 cents today, folks. That's the place. That's the time you'll get it there. It's Purpose Beyond the Playbook. Lessons from a Champion's Life. How to Win When the Game Changes. You mentioned earlier Michael Bennett with me, by the way, and Big Mo back there running things. We were talking about the SEC in the playoff this past season. And the only one SEC team made it to the semifinals, and that was Ole Miss.
Yeah.
Yep. But the only reason Ole Miss really, I mean, that's the way, but a key contributor to that fact, though, is the fact that Ole Miss played another SEC team in the quarterfinals. So one of them had to get in.
Yeah.
You had out of the 8 teams in the quarterfinals, you had Ohio State, Miami, don't want to talk about that. Indiana beat Alabama. Oregon shut out Texas Tech, and then Ole Miss beat Georgia 38-34. So there was a guarantee of one SEC team being there. Who knows if it would have changed things around a little bit if it still would have been the case, but that was the 6-seed Ole Miss is the one that got it to the semis. Joe Burrow said something, and we're going to play the clip here. Big Mo's going to play it for you in just a second, but keep in mind when Joe Burrow says this, that he also was on a Super Bowl team. Here is what Joe Burrow had to say about his team this year.
You saw what this roster looked like in 2021, albeit you were young, but that was a Super Bowl roster. Do you think what you see right now from this organization and in that locker room is a Super Bowl roster?
I think this is the most talented roster that we've had since I've been here.
So you say it's the most talented roster they've had since he's been there. Keep in mind, again, they went to a Super Bowl one year. Here's one more cut from Joe Burrow about the talent and depth on the defense this year.
I just think we know where we needed to be better, and we went out and aggressively made it happen. You know, we filled some holes that we had from years past, got better at a lot of positions, signed the best free agent safety, got the best D-tackle in the league, in my opinion. You know, we have a lot of depth now on the defensive line. That's exciting, not just for me, but for those guys, so they don't have to play as many snaps. You can have more of a rotation. So we have everything we need in that locker room. We just got to go and make it happen.
So does that put pressure on the Bengals coaching staff now that he says something like that, that this is the most talented team we've had? And does that now put pressure, though, on the Bengals to have a damn good year this year?
Whether it's true or not, it definitely does. You know, it's to be seen if the talent is actually the best the Bengals have had since that Super Bowl season. Mm-hmm. But I think there was already pressure on Zach Taylor.
Yeah.
I think, you know, you can't have Joe Burrow and all these other stars on the Bengals and then
Higgins
just
and Chase, yeah.
Yeah, you, like paying them all this money and then just underperform to the level they did last year. And now, to their credit, that defense really was just a sieve. Like it just, yeah, anything could get through it. They really, if you're losing games, well, like there were some games they were losing like 45-48 or mm-hmm. something like that more than once. There's not much you can do. But yeah, the coaching staff is going to be under the on the hot seat just a little bit. They've been there for a little while now.
Yeah.
And now you're not expecting the Bengals to win the Super Bowl every year or anything like that. But you have a franchise quarterback. You want to get as many good seasons out of him as you can because he's starting to get beat up a little bit. He's had a couple seasons where he's been out for plenty of games.
Yeah.
So I definitely think that Zach Taylor needs to be on his stuff this year because they did make some good moves in the offseason. So then you're going to start pointing fingers at other people if they can't perform.
And we're going to spend a lot of this hour talking about quarterbacks in the AFC North and situations there. But it is interesting this year how it's going to set up with the AFC North because there are so many questions with each team. And if you look at it, I mean, this is going to sound weird to say this, and I just thought of it, so again, it's reckless on my part. But do the Bengals have the fewest questions among all the teams in the AFC North?
Ah, boy. You know, I think there's a good amount of questions for all of them.
There are?
Really. Maybe, you know, I would say the Browns probably have more questions mm-hmm. than anybody. But when you look at Baltimore, yeah, you have a multiple time MVP at quarterback, but he dropped off quite a bit last year. So does he bounce back? You know, obviously the obvious questions with Pittsburgh, and I think at least Pittsburgh, Cincy, and Baltimore have about the same amount of questions.
Tito, I'm going to go with you. I think Cincinnati's probably got the less questions.
You got three new head coaches elsewhere.
Yeah.
Right? Okay, yeah. All three have the biggest question on the Bengals has been the defense. The biggest mm-hmm. question about that, right?
It's still a question.
It is.
But they've added some good pieces that you would think can answer that question.
Sure.
Yeah.
And so that's the part that, and it felt weird when you say it out loud because I didn't think about it until just now, but I was thinking about, you know, the Ravens have got Lamar Jackson, you know, injury issues here and there and whatnot, but nonetheless, you've got for the last 3 years, I've said Derrick Henry's done because he's finally done. I'm going to get it right eventually. I'll get it right eventually with Indiana, too, about Cignetti. When I say, they keep the foods. Who's they have a bad year? But like, see, I told you it wasn't sustainable. I don't care if he won a national championship and didn't only had, you know, a great year the year before that. But the Steelers, we got a lot of questions with an aging quarterback, you know, and the highest paid and maybe the oldest defense in the NFL.
But do you, and I agree, because I hadn't even thought about the fact that you have three new head coaches with the rest of them. But do you really look at Taylor as somebody that has really entrenched himself as a coach? Because other than the Super Bowl year, which was amazing,
mm-hmm.
it's always felt like he just has not, he's underperformed. So to me, that's almost like there's still questions there with him.
I think there are definitely still questions with him, but just because he's been there since 2019, at the very least, I feel like it's less questions than the Baltimore Ravens, who have a brand new, like a guy who has not been a head coach. Then you've got McCarthy over at the Steelers, who I don't even know if it's questions about what his performance is going to be, but you know, it's not going to be what the Steelers need it to be. And then you got the Cleveland Browns, who have the quarterback questions, the coaching questions, and I'm sure a litany, the Myles Garrett questions, a litany of other things that, you know, nobody knows what's going to happen once September rolls around. I think the Bengals, Tito, that's a good call out, because I think the Bengals, they look like the most consistent. Their offense is incredible, phenomenal. Yeah. Obviously, you got to keep people healthy. But nobody was ever questioning the Bengals' offense.
Right.
They were questioning that defense. And it's just a question of, did they fill in the parts that they needed? And I like the moves that they made in the offseason.
I do, too. The Dexter Lawrence move, I like that. And the fact that, and I can't remember who was I heard say this. Albert Breer said he talked to an NFL executive who said that they got Dexter Lawrence for the 10th pick in the draft. And Dexter Lawrence is better than, is a better player than they would have gotten at 10. And that's true. Now, granted, Caleb Downs has higher upside and a longer, he got certainly a longer career. And so Caleb Downs would have been great. Maybe the Bengals would not have made the trade if they would have known that Downs would have been available to them at that point. Nonetheless, though, Lawrence fills a big need for them. And the fact they added on to his deal a little bit, it's a reasonably priced deal for him as well. They've got Chase Brown, who is a very reliable running back. And so with that offense, the way it is, yeah, I look at it and, you know, we'll talk more about the Browns and Steelers here in the next segment. Just talking about the Ravens, though, in particular. Yeah, the Ravens, though, like you mentioned, first-time head coach. And I don't know. You know, they missed the playoffs last year. The Ravens did, to a very mediocre Steelers team. But it's just, it'll be, and if you look at the Bengals head coaching history, which is so weird to look at. You know, they have great patience lately with Marvin Lewis being there for 16 years with how mediocre he was, although he did win four AFC North championships. But Zach Taylor has got the best winning percentage other than Marvin Lewis since Sam Weich. And Sam Weich is only at 480 as far as winning percentage goes. Zach Taylor's at 453. But after Weich, you had Dave Shula, who went 19-52 for a 268 winning percentage. You had Bruce Coslett, who went 21-39 for a 350 winning percentage. And then you had Dick LeBeau, who went 12-33 for a 267. So Zach Taylor, one of the best coaches of all time in Bengals history, I guess, from what I can tell, at least in modern history.
Well, you look at the three coaches that have taken him to the Super Bowl, Forrest Gregg.
Right.
Sam Weiss and Zach Taylor.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's the list.
And Forrest Gregg is more known for what he did as a player than what he ever did as a coach.
You're right.
It's just crazy to think that the most stable team in the AFC North would be the Bengals. Now, it may never be the Browns.
Right.
But you would always think it's either Pittsburgh or it's going to be Baltimore.
Pittsburgh was stable there for 20 years under Tomlin.
Right.
You know, they were consistent, maybe not the best team in the world, but you knew what you were getting year in and year out with them. And then the Ravens under Harbaugh were also incredibly, incredibly consistent. They were going to be competitive. They were going to have a good regular season. They were going to be, you know, dangerous in the postseason, but they probably weren't going to get it done. You know, they had a year with Flacco there, but I do wonder. I said that Zach Taylor may be on the hot seat because they've got such a talented team. After discussing it, what would it take to fire a Bengals head coach?
I don't think it takes. You would have to maybe murder somebody. it would be hard to do,
especially after taking them to the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
I think what it takes is Joe Burrow saying, "I want a new head coach."
Yeah,
that's what it would take.
Do you think Joe Burrow has the? I don't know the power to do. He's a great quarterback. Yeah. You think he's that much of a franchise guy?
I think he does now, and I think it was Breer also mentioned this that Burrow kind of went to the Bengals and said, "Look, if we don't improve this defense, I'm going to want out of here." If Burrow's got that, and with the Burrow's the most important player in that franchise in that entire franchise right now, for that entire team right now, it's as far as the power he's got. And so, I think if Burrow went and said, "This isn't working out, it's either him or me," then I think Zach Taylor's gone. But it would take, again, I think they'll have a good year this year, but it's going to be interesting in the AFC North. We're going to stick with the AFC North. There's one quarterback who's trying to reestablish himself, and another one's riding off into the sunset. We will talk about that next Fan Sports Saturday.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Has a secret radio station. It's called The Fan 2. You can listen to The Bob and Tom Show, Jim Rome, and Buckeye Stuff. Why do they pay me big money to whisper? The Fan 2 is on The Fan's HD2 channel and streaming on The Fan app. You're welcome. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
A few showers possible early Saturday, becoming more scattered throughout the day as temperatures warm into the mid-70s later. Then a few scattered showers, possibly a thunderstorm late afternoon through the early evening. We dry out overnight, and the first half of Sunday stays dry as well as temperatures rise to about 80 degrees. But a stray shower or thunderstorm can't be ruled out Sunday afternoon either. A stray shower is possible. I'm meteorologist Mike Joyce on 97.1 The Fan.
We test marketed naming the show A Guy and His Butlers.
Oh, that is very touching.
But we thought Bishop and Friends had a better ring to it.
Weekday mornings at 9.
The Fan. Live, local, and still slightly drunk.
I'm not drunk, all right? I just have a speech impediment.
This is Fan Sports Saturday.
Fan Sports Saturday. It's Tito. It's Michael Bennett. It's Big Mo. Did you guys see the opening line of the Ohio State Ball State game this year?
Did not. It's probably disgusting.
I haven't seen it.
Not 60. Do you want to guess also, Big Mo?
I want to say 68.
49.5. Oh, right. Looks like you guys are both taking Ohio State, laying the points in it based on your guess.
I'll sing Ball State.
There we go. Right. A couple of things here we'll talk about in order in the AFC North. We'll start with Pittsburgh. Aaron Rodgers, here's an announcement he made this week.
Yeah, I love Mike T. I mean, I really appreciate the opportunity to come in last year and love my experience with him. And, you know, I thought when he said he was stepping away, that was an emotional moment just because we all love him so much and care about him. And, you know, I thought that that was probably it for me in Pittsburgh. But when the decision was made to hire Mike, I sort of opened my mind back up to coming back.
Two more. Aaron, do you believe that this could be your last year? Do you even think of that right now?
Yes.
As in your last year?
This is it, yeah.
I don't believe we will get the Brett Favre treatment from Rodgers where he retires, unretires, retires, unretires, retires, unretires. it feels like this will be his last season. Knowing Rodgers has ever really done those drag things out forever, like we saw here.
It sounded pretty definitive. And Brett Favre, you know, I think is nobody was surprised that football was most of what Brett Favre had.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers seems like football, he does it because he's good at it. And he would much rather be, you know, doing ayahuasca in a foreign country or something like
right,
that. Like it seems like he's going to have plenty of activities ready for post football. I was on here. I've hung out with Beam way too much because I was an Aaron Rodgers hater.
Yeah.
And I got on here to look at his career stats because I think that he should have retired in 2022, but then the Jets hit him with that $75 million fully guaranteed contract. Who's turning that down?
Right.
But his stats, he wasn't underperforming that much. He wasn't like some washed up quarterback. He wasn't what he was.
Right.
But he was still putting up 3,000 yards last season, almost 4,000 yards in 2024 with the Jets. Not a great QBR, but he was still putting up numbers. He was still pretty dangerous in moments. So he probably could eke out another 2 to 3 years and just, I don't know, be a journeyman, be a Flacco type where he's going around, or not a Flacco type, Flacco type. who's been bouncing around teams. He's a great leader on a bunch of teams and coaching up young guys, but that doesn't really seem like Aaron Rodgers' MO. He wants to be the main guy.
He had the thing, the Jets, he gets hurt on the first play, obviously, the first time he goes back to when he tears his Achilles like that, but then he, and for the first 7 games, I want to say, the first half of the following season in 2024, stats were very mediocre. But then after that, once you got past that, like, 18 months of recovery, he put up good numbers the rest of the year for the Jets. And yes, numbers Pittsburgh weren't awful last year. They were not terrible last year. 24 touchdown passes, 7 interceptions, a little over 3,300 yards, completed almost 66% of his passes, which was his highest percentage of completion since the 2021 season with Green Bay. My only thing with Rodgers is that, I think he'll leave after this year. That's fine. But the thing is, though, is it better for the Steelers to go 9-8 or 10-7 with Rodgers, or is it better to go 4-13 or 5-12 with, say, Will Howard? As far as just looking at the long term of the franchise now, you know, as another mediocre season where then you're going to get picked where you don't know, unless you know Will Howard's going to be your next quarterback, or unless you know Drew Aller, which God better not be the next quarterback. But unless you know that, though, the worst thing for the Steelers would be to go into next year's draft picking around the 17 to 24 range and not knowing if they have a franchise quarterback.
I completely agree with you. Like, we don't know what Will Howard has looked like in his development as a NFL quarterback.
Right.
And as the Steelers, in my mind, I'm picturing Will Howard as a potential franchise quarterback. So I would say let him, you know, play under Rodgers for another year. Mm-hmm. But if the Steelers, you know, the people in that building have seen him and they're like, I don't know if he's got what it takes or if he's not going to be ready in a year, 100% Tito, that's a question of, are you screwing yourself by letting Aaron Rodgers have this farewell tour where you're not winning the Super Bowl with him?
No.
You could have a winning record, you know, maybe, but you're kind of, we got some good quarterbacks coming out in this draft. Are you going to miss that opportunity to let some, you know, a quarterback who had an incredible career, but he's past his prime, let him have his farewell tour?
And you're aging the defense another year or two.
Yep.
Just think they kind of screwed the pooch when it came to hiring McCarthy.
Yeah, 100%.
Because it's the Steelers. As much as I am a Browns fan and I can't stand the Steelers, I respect what they've done. And they've shown that they can find a coordinator or somebody that can just jump in, make their program fit to what the Steelers want. And you get Mike McCarthy, who inherited a really good Green Bay team and took them to the Super Bowl. And since then, couldn't do anything with anybody else.
I think that was one of the most insane hires from an NFL team that I've seen in the last however many years. One of the most known mediocre head coaches. That is not going to instill confidence in your players. From what I understood, was the only reason he kept his job so long in Dallas was because he was, you know, friends with Jerry. That was my understanding of it. It wasn't because he was stellar. It wasn't because, you know, he just had the locker room and everything like that. So to go from Mike Tomlin, to Mike McCarthy. Take a chance on a defensive coordinator, an up-and-coming defensive coordinator, an up-and-coming offensive coordinator. Do something like that rather than somebody where you know you're going to – you're trying to get 9 wins in a season, and that's what he's getting, that's what he can give you.
Here's the other thing to look at, too, is now you have a 53-man roster. Can you keep 4 quarterbacks? And if you can't, okay, you've got a 42-year-old Aaron Rodgers. 42-year-old quarterbacks, they get dinged up a little bit.
A little bit.
Okay. Yep. So if you're going to go in there with just 3 quarterbacks, Rodgers is one of them. And if you have any concerns about him getting hurt, do you want to keep Mason Rudolph because he's got NFL starting experience? And if you say, okay, we want to keep Mason Rudolph, you're going to cut Will Howard or Drew Aller. You just waste a 3rd-round pick on Drew Aller. I say waste because I think the dude's a piece of garbage. I don't think he's going to be good in the NFL.
You don't think they'll be able to trade him?
No, I don't. Well, I don't. After all the news that came out, when they had to, like, they're going to reconstructive, like, they had to break, they have to, like, totally look at it and say, hey, everything you learned, forget about it.
They would trade Allard, or I mean, Howard before they trade Allard.
And I don't know if Howard had much of a market. A 6th-round pick, you know, you'd probably get cut. So that's the part that's going to be fascinating to me, to see what happens with that. And I know McCarthy has spoken very highly, and the organization has, about Will Howard. And so, maybe they think, you know what, if he comes in as a good camp, maybe we will cut Mason Rudolph.
Yeah.
Or maybe we'll somehow get Drew Aller injured somewhere so we can just put him on IR or something.
Mike McCarthy is known as a quarterback guru.
Apparently.
I say jokingly. Yes,
right. Hey, I could be a guru if I had Favre and Rodgers.
Yeah.
Make me a guru when I've got, you know, when I'm sitting there with Drew Aller, you know.
It's almost like the Steelers went to Cleveland and drank the water and made a Cleveland decision in their coaching.
Maybe they went and got McCarthy just for Aaron Rodgers' farewell tour.
And I never gathered that Rodgers was really that big into McCarthy, because I feel like when they split,
it was a little bit contentious at the end. Yeah, yeah. Maybe Jeff Fisher wasn't available, so they decided to go and stay with that. All right, coming up next in 2 minutes, we're going to continue the AFC North talk, and we're going to play other sound from the Browns quarterback, about the Browns quarterback situation from Todd Monken. We'll do that next. Fan Sports Saturday.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
This 10-second promo, Rothman will lose money gambling on something.
People like you come here and blow the family nest egg that built this town.
Rothman and Ice.
Weekdays from noon to 3.
The Fan. Garnish your Bloody Mary with sports talk. You're listening to Fan Sports Saturday.
Fan Sports Saturday, thanks for tuning in. AFC North, dysfunctional quarterback situation in Cleveland, as always. Water is wet. Deshaun Watson, it looks like he could very well be the starting quarterback this year for your Cleveland Browns. And Todd Monken, he has talked about the new head coach of the Browns, how Deshaun Watson, his slate is clean as far as he's concerned.
Well, he's been great. I mean, I think everybody would say it. I'm all for a clean slate. You know, I want the best for every player that we have, every coach. I want the best for, you know, anybody in this world to have a great life. I think it's really cool that he still has an opportunity with a change, right, to showcase his ability, see where he's at. I'm all for it.
I'll make the same joke I made yesterday. It sounded like Doc Rivers.
Yeah, somebody get him a cough drop.
Right.
It's amazing what football will forgive. What was it, 65 women or something like that?
Whatever the number was.
I mean, it wasn't a small number.
Once it's over one, it's like many. You know, it's
what do we expect the head coach of the Cleveland Browns to say? Honestly.
And this is, Tito, we talked about it last Saturday. Like, this is one of those things where it's money's driving everything.
Yeah.
You've given this man $240 million guaranteed.
Mm-hmm.
The Browns organization is like, we are going to get our money out of him, whether he dies on that field or not. I don't care what he did off the field. We paid him the money. He is going to perform.
So I look at the same situation, and I'm going to take the off the field stuff as much as I'm going to take it out of this and just look right now at how his injury history now
mm-hmm.
and how he was not great with the Browns, really ever. Yeah. In the times with the Browns he's played, he's been okay. Not great. It hasn't been the old Deshaun Watson like you saw playing in his great years in Houston.
Well, but he was able to get massages then.
He was. That's fair. Okay, but play this out now. How could this possibly end well for the Browns and for Browns fans? Okay, let's say Deshaun Watson. Let's just say he comes in and leads the Browns to the playoffs. His contract's up. Do you want to re-sign him? Does Deshaun want to re-sign? Let's say he comes in and has a great year. They go 12-5. They win the AFC North. Maybe even win a damn playoff game. Do the Browns really want to give him more money? Will they be forced to? Will Browns fans wear Deshaun Watson's jerseys?
This is cynical for me, but yeah, if you win in football, people don't care. Jameis Winston, America's sweetheart, he doesn't even really win that much. But people have forgiven his past infractions. I think if he has an incredible year,
yeah,
people will move past it. If he has a good year, mm-hmm. people won't. It's not his the things he's done
yeah.
are not worth it to football fans to forgive for a good year. But from what I've seen,
yeah.
if he went and, you know, made a run in the playoffs with the Browns,
right.
people would say, oh, you know, we don't condone what he did,
but,
you know, that was years ago. That was, he got hurt. He's paid his dues, whatever mental gymnastics it takes. I do think that winning solves just about everything in football.
As a Browns fan, I have to think of it two ways. I think of the logical way. If he was winning and led them to the playoffs or, you know, God forbid, a Super Bowl, logically, I would want him to come back.
Right.
But then I have to look at it as what would be the most Browns thing to do? And it would be to trade him before we got to the playoffs if he's leading us there.
Right.
And go with, you know, who knows at quarterback. And declare that we're going to have just this major run game. I mean, that'd be the most Browns thing to do.
That'd be the smartest thing the Browns could do. They need to wash their hands of Deshaun Watson. This is actually, Tito, I'm curious to see how you felt about Ben Roethlisberger because a winner. I know. A true winner.
Yeah.
Is he a Hall of Fame guy? He's a Hall of Fame guy, right?
Like, you win two Super Bowls, you're going to
Hall of Fame. Had his fair share of stuff off the field.
Unless you're Plunkett or Eli. Yeah. He did have stuff. Yeah, right. He did. And that is very fair to say. How do I put this? Because I with Roethlisberger, Jameis, and Deshaun's, their situations are all a little bit different.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. Winston's endeared himself because now he's goofy.
Yeah.
He says silly things and people are like, he's an airhead. They look past some of the stuff because of the fact he's become more endearing to people. Kind of like Manny Ramirez was. Been part of his career. Well, granted, he didn't do things off the field, but like his on the field, the steroid stuff and everything that he called for. But he was goofy, so you know people kind of, I don't want to say gave him a pass, but they looked at him differently. The Watson numbers, the Roethlisberger stuff, yes, negative, bad. And I said more than one accusation, more than one case. It's too many anyway. But Watson was so widespread,
yeah.
And Roethlisberger got a pass from Pittsburgh fans, I think. Because he was a Pittsburgh lifer.
Showed the love for the team, all that kind of stuff.
Stayed there, drafted, made here, all those things. Whereas Watson came in, the way Watson came to the Browns, I think also plays into the story because mm-hmm. Watson did not want to come to Cleveland.
Yep.
He wanted to go to Atlanta. There's no way in hell he's going to Cleveland until Cleveland said, we're going to give you more guaranteed money than anyone ever.
Yeah.
And it's all guaranteed. No matter what happens, all your crap, it's guaranteed.
Pretty much stole from the franchise.
Right. And so that's where it looks a little bit different than that. Roethlisberger stuff did happen, and you know the accusation, all stuff that came out, but because he was drafted by Pittsburgh, stayed in Pittsburgh, all those things, had success with Pittsburgh already, Watson's done, there's been nothing positive about Watson since he's been to Cleveland.
That's a good point.
Nothing. Yep. No signature moment. No, like, holy crap, he got us the playoff stuff. And that's why I just wonder if, you know, if he comes in and does well, I think he's gone. Because I think that someone will offer more. If the Browns, whatever he does this year, I don't care what his numbers are this year.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody else offers him a great deal, like a lot of money, the Browns, I think, should say no.
Yeah.
We've already given you money.
And I believe in Shador. I don't know if he's going to be a Tom Brady.
Right.
But I think that he showed a lot of promise for a rookie. I think that it would be in his best interest if Deshaun Watson started. Mm-hmm. Let Deshaun do whatever he's going to do. Learn from him. Learn from his mistakes. Learn from his successes. And then I agree with you, Tito. They'll probably move on from Deshaun. Mo, you know, as a Cleveland fan, I don't know if you would want to keep Deshaun or if you believe it or if you believe in just blanked on his name.
Shador.
Yep. But, you know, I think that Shador is right now Cleveland's best option. He's not going to be, I don't think he's taking you to a Super Bowl next year or the year after that, but I do think he can build. I do think he has what it takes to be a successful NFL quarterback. I just really think, I'm not a Cleveland fan, but I think Cleveland needs to wash their hands of Deshaun.
I think that you look at what Todd Monken has done previously as an offensive coordinator, you're going to see a team that probably is built around the offense fitting the style of quarterback play that they need. So I do think they will tie into the run a little bit stronger this year. They've already gotten great success out of Judkins and, you know, the rest of that running back room. I think you're just going to see a quarterback, whoever's playing, that it's not going to be the way of the world on them. It's going to be more so, you know, this is what we're going to work within and really not have to do anything real complicated. I feel like at times that former offense just got a little bit complicated.
Well, and that's where I look at it too, though. If they have a good year, they do the Steelers thing, go 9-8 or 10-7. Now they're out of range still for franchise quarterback if you don't believe in Sanders, which I don't know if the Browns do believe in Sanders, but I look at it like it's there's a lot of ways this could go bad for this could not be ideal for the Browns.
Mm-hmm.
And Browns fans, like, I don't know if they will, like, you just said that they should want to wash their hands of Watson.
Yeah.
And if he goes 12-5, or if he wins the division, can you do that? Because I think they should, no matter what. Also, I'm with you. I think they should do that. I think the worst thing for the Browns would be to do what the Steelers did last year, where you just good enough to be picking in the 18 range.
Yep.
And now you still don't know, because if you're picking in the 18 range, that means Watson had a good year, which means Sanders probably didn't play much, which means you still don't know what you have in Sanders.
Yeah. I don't know how, you know, Cleveland fans or the Cleveland ownership feels. Would you feel comfortable paying Deshaun Watson again, even if he had a great year? Like, you know, he doesn't want to be in Cleveland. You know, I don't even know if he cares that much about football anymore. Once again, it could be a situation where the guy's making, what is it, $60 million a year or something like that, as long as he actually pretends to care a little bit. Like, I'm not paying him more money. I don't care. Like you said, if he goes 12-5, let some other team deal with that. Buy into the dream, you know, accept whatever comes with having Deshaun Watson on your team. I'm ready to move on, even if it means, you know, a 500 season.
Oh, he could lead them to a Super Bowl victory. And I would still say, go see what you can get somewhere else.
Yeah, this isn't a Baker Mayfield situation. I think that was one of the biggest, and I mean, it all ties back to this Deshaun thing. Baker Mayfield should still be on the Browns right now. He believed in Cleveland, loved Cleveland, took Cleveland to the playoffs. And the way he took Cleveland to the playoffs, beating the Steelers, and then beating the Steelers again in the playoffs, and then you get rid of him?
Yeah.
I think the Browns establishment brought this on themselves.
And so far, out of everybody that ran Stefanski's offense, he's the only one that probably ran it really the way it was supposed to be run.
Yeah.
Deshaun Watson, 30 years old right now. He'll be 31 in September. If he has a great year, he's going to want starter money again.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody will pay it to him.
Yes, they will.
If he has a good year, he'll want starter money.
Yes, he will. He'll want starter money, and that's big money in the NFL. And at 31, they'll say, well, you know, quarterbacks, look what some of the other quarterbacks are making and how long they're lasting. And yes, Deshaun had injuries, but hasn't had a lot of hits in his body the last couple of years. So maybe he's fresh. A lot of things like that.
He'll be at the Jets.
Yeah. Somebody will pick him up. Yes. Somebody will pay him. And because it's the Browns, that means he'll do really well somewhere else too. All right. Coming up next, I want to get to one more quarterback story. What the hell are the Rams doing? We'll do that next. Fan Sports Saturday.
Give me a mountain dew, a mountain with lots to do. Give me the sunshine. Give me a dew. Something simple and true. All I need is sunshine and a cool, refreshing mountain dew.
Grab some friends and an ice-cold Mountain Dew today.
Mountain Dew!
Fan is headed to the Memorial. Are you ready for 30 hours of live coverage?
Oh, it's true, baby.
Sponsored by the Waterworks and Header Plumbing, Drain, Heating, and Cooling.
Thewaterworks.com.
The best Memorial coverage. The Fan.
All your favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. We firmly believe it's appropriate to tailgate before a youth soccer game.
You're listening to Fan Sports Saturday.
All right, Fan Sports Saturday. The Los Angeles Rams at the draft took Ty Simpson, the quarterback, with the 13th pick overall. And, you know, remember seeing the lack of enthusiasm Sean McVay had for that pick, at least. And he came back and said it wasn't that. It was just, you know, he was excited about it. But nonetheless, it felt like the fact that the Rams passed on immediate wide receiver help or a player could help them right now this year because Matthew Stafford is not young. Got to do it. Was he 37 years old? But anyway, they passed on immediate help for a successor. And so I think a lot of people figured, well, this means Stafford probably has one more year before he goes off into the sunset. And now it comes out that Stafford signed a contract extension with the Rams for 1 year, $55 million more. Takes him through the 2027 season. So that's two seasons. $105 million in remaining compensation, according to Adam Schefter. So if, and that's the part where I wonder if, you know, sometimes these guys sign these contracts, but not really planning on playing the last year of it. It might be for, and I don't know if this gave any cap relief or not. It doesn't sound like it did, but sometimes just because someone signs that contract doesn't mean they're going to play the extra year. But what is interesting to me, Michael, is if they're doing this because they're going to take the Green Bay Packers play sheet and their playbook and, you know, let Simpson sit for 1, 2, 3 years, whatever, like they did with Jordan Love, like they did with Aaron Rodgers for that behind Favre. If they're going to do that, that's one thing. That's fine. But I just question why would they just try to get immediate help right now? Get a receiver in the draft or get something that can help you out right now. The tight end, Sadiq. Maybe get somebody else who can step in and do something. Because if not, then you just took the 13th pick of the draft. And if you're the Rams, you hope there's no way in hell you're picking 13th again next year.
Yeah.
Right? You hope that's not going to be the kid. Now, granted, there was a pick they got from Atlanta. That's why they had the pick. But nonetheless, though, it just seems to me like if you're going to make, you don't want to be in the position again to where you're picking that high in a draft. And I don't know. It seems odd to me.
I like this move. The only thing that is a little weird about it is, like you said, it was the 13th pick in the draft.
Right.
Now, if you had found somebody that you think is his possible, Matthew Stafford's possible successor in rounds 4 or below, I think incredible. You know, that's exactly what you need to be doing. I'm a big believer in letting and not playing rookie quarterbacks. I think that they need to learn behind a veteran. Mm-hmm. Whether the veteran's great or not, you know, obviously it's somebody who can teach them the ropes and teach them good habits and all that kind of stuff is great, but they need, it's just, it, the game moves so much faster in the NFL, and the responsibilities on a quarterback's shoulders are so much heavier in the NFL than in college. I think it's great that the Rams are planning to sit Ty Simpson behind Matthew Stafford, who I'm looking at his career stats, because like you said, he's an older guy, older athlete, 37 years old. One of the best seasons he's ever had last year.
Oh, yeah.
Career most high touchdowns,
passing touchdown pass.
Yeah. An incredible season last year, so he's not done. But burning a 13th pick is for a backup is questionable because that first round is supposed to be you're playing immediately, contributing immediately. That is the whole point. You're paying a guy, what's a 13th pick making? Like $2 million a year or something like that? Probably, maybe more?
Yeah, maybe more. That's just quarterback position. Might be, yeah.
For 2 or 3 years just to learn. So you must really believe in him as the successor because he better pay off, right? Once Matthew Stafford's gone, he better pay off.
So, and that's the other thing too. It's okay. So they are picking 13. The teams behind them were Baltimore, Tampa Bay, the Jets, who I, you know, maybe in theory they could have taken a quarterback. Detroit, they wouldn't. Minnesota, I don't think would. Carolina, probably not. Like they could have traded back maybe and still gotten Ty Simpson. It's questionable to me, but then you look at the other side of it too, though, is that maybe the best time to draft a quarterback is when you don't need a quarterback.
Yeah.
You know, because the fact they're not desperate in that way now, but it just seemed to me a little bit odd that they would do that. But yeah, you're right. It's amazing the season he had last year. you know, the career high in passing touchdowns, 46 touchdown passes, 8 interceptions, led the NFL in passing yards. Quite the year for him.
One of his best QBRs, too.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a fantastic year for him. He's come up his 18th season, which we, you know, we see quarterbacks can't play longer. I wanted to ask you one more question, too, switching gears a little bit to the NBA. There are four teams left in the NBA playoffs right now. Breaking news on that one with Oklahoma City, San Antonio, the Knicks, and the Cavs. If LeBron were to leave or he and the Lakers part ways with each other, how many of those teams do you think are possible landing spots for him? Out of those four, how many do you think are potential landing spots for LeBron?
Send him back to the Cavs. Send him back home. Okay. I think LeBron...
He's an unrestricted free agent for the first time in his career.
Yeah, I think it would be great if he could stay with the Lakers. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm sure Bronny enjoys playing with his dad, but probably is ready to fly out of the nest a little bit. I think send him back to the Cavs. Let him be a leader on the Cavs. I would even just say let him transition from player to coach at the Cavs. Just I think he's an incredible basketball mind. Mm-hmm. I think anybody that's ever played with him has talked about just how he knows everything that's happening on the field. Everywhere everybody needs to be. I think that he still has points to contribute every game. Send him back to the Cavs. Let him be home. Let him retire as a Cav. And I think that he could still help the Cavs find success.
I don't think LeBron could ever coach because most people, most greats can't.
Just too easy for him.
Well, it's a thing where LeBron would expect the team, the players, to have the same dedication that he had on and off the court. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And there's no one else right now in the NBA that I can tell. I mean, Kobe did.
Yeah.
Right? Michael did. Bird and Magic, I think, did. But Magic wasn't a great coach.
Bird was a
pretty good coach. But by and large, though, people that have great careers, they are great, like very successful, they expect everyone else to do what they do. Mm-hmm. Just do it. Go out there. Like, you know, like with Magic, you'd be like, how can you not see that? Because I'm not Magic. I can't throw a mask because I don't know how to do it. How can you not spend $1 million on your body every year and sleep in a hyperbolic chamber and go and do these things like I did? Everyone do that.
Yeah.
Don't get in trouble off the court. Don't go party. They all do. So that's the part that'd be a problem for LeBron.
That's a good point.
Don't you think, though, that the easy thing for him to do would be to go back to Cleveland? Do you think that maybe he still just wants to prove that he could go to one more different team and win a title?
Well, if I was going to do that, I'll tell you what I'd do. I'd ring up the Spurs.
Ooh.
Now, if they wanted to assign a trade, the Spurs have got some couple of pieces they could trade off there. Mm-hmm. But think about LeBron loves Popovich. I know Popovich is not coaching anymore, but he's still very much involved in the organization. Think if he'd go to the Spurs. Now, you're playing in the tougher conference in the West. So if you just winning the West would be a big deal. The East is easier to win. Winning the West next year, being able to knock off Oklahoma City would be a huge deal.
Yeah.
LeBron and Wembanyama?
He could mentor Wembanyama.
Yeah. You still have De'Aaron Fox there?
I do think that I like to think that his ego is enough in check that he recognizes he's, you know, an older guy and he's not the 2007 LeBron, that he could let Wemby be the star on the team and just help.
Yeah.
I think I like that more than the Cavs.
And he can take on the Lakers quite a few times, stick it to them. I just think it makes sense.
I like that a lot.
Win a title with four different teams? Look, say what you want.
Tito, you win this one. I like that a lot. That'd be beautiful.
I'd love to see it. It could be fun to watch. Coming up next, an athletic director made a statement, and he better hope he's not right. We'll do that next, Fan Sports Saturday.
Bobby Carpenter demands that you watch Morning Juice on YouTube. If you don't, Tito will move into your house.
Live at 6 a.m. on YouTube and streaming on the Fan app.
Jack.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios. Driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Eric Mosley. The Cleveland Guardians traveled to Philadelphia to take on the Phillies last night and came away with a 1-0 victory. Kyle Manzardo supplied the guards with their only run with a pitch hit solo home run in the top of the ninth. Gavin Williams got the victory with 8 shutout innings, 11 strikeouts, and no walks. The series resumes today at 4:05 with Slade Ciccone getting the start for Cleveland and Zach Wheeler taking the bump for the Phillies. The Reds and Cardinals got washed out last night in Cincinnati. They play 2 today with the Reds' Chris Paddock taking on the Cards' Andre Pallante in Game 1. Game 2 sees Kyle Leahy on the mound for the Redbirds and Chase Petty with the start for Cincy. Catch the action right here on The Fan starting at 12:40. In the NBA playoffs, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander led Oklahoma City to a 2-1 series lead over San Antonio with a 128-108 victory in the Western Conference Finals. Game 4 in that series takes place Sunday. Breaking sports news when it happens on The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Just because it's the weekend doesn't mean we shut up. This is Fan Sports Saturday.
Fan Sports Saturday. Final hour of the program. We're off early today, folks, because Reds baseball, Mother Nature. I don't know what the weather's doing down there. I'm looking at the tower cam here. As we are in our windowless studio here, the box that we are in, I do see on the camera, it looks like there's rain out there. Is that what I'm seeing?
That is what you're seeing, but from what I've been keeping track of, it looks like opening pitch should happen.
Okay.
But there is chance of rain. It'll probably get delayed at some point.
Iowa State. Iowa State's athletic director came out and said that he thinks that the Big Ten, SEC, should just, if they've wanted to do this, just go start your own conference. Go break away, do your own thing, is what he said. And I'm trying to get the exact quote on here, but it was Jamie Pollard said, let them break away. We should break away from them. Let them go. But they have to go all, if they have to go in all their sports. See how fun it is to play basketball, softball, and track, which is just a 20 of you. First of all, it's 34 because it's 18 in the Big Ten and 16 in the SEC. That's what I think we should do. But I'm one person that's probably a little more draconian. So that's how I feel about it. Like, let's quit talking about it. Quit threatening. Go do it. But if you're going to do it, don't just do it in football and then keep all your other sports with us. No, take them all. See how fun it is. Iowa State's AD, Jamie Pollard, needs to shut the hell up. Think about it. Like, if no one cares about Big 12 football, yeah, they really don't.
Or Iowa State.
Or Iowa State, for them. The only time I care about Iowa State is when they play Iowa in like week 2 or week 3. That's the only time they really mean anything, because I want to see how the Big Ten does against them, because Iowa's usually, it's usually a game that comes down to like a field goal. It's usually like a 9-7 game.
I think that's the biggest issue with this discussion is it's when you're talking about, you know, consolidating talent for football and basketball.
Right.
It comes as a package deal with every other sport. And I think that's the only reason we haven't been able to figure out how to make more competitive leagues in college football. And that's what this AD seems to be saying is, you know, he's saying it a little facetiously, like, oh, go, just go do it. But then you also have to break all of your sports off. And that's why they haven't done it yet. But, you know, like, everybody would agree that the SEC and the Big Ten football conferences are, by and large, the best teams in the nation.
But how many of those sports are the Big Ten still relatively dominant in? Especially as big as the Big Ten is now. Basketball, they've become a lot more competitive.
Right.
I would venture to say they're just as competitive as the Big 12 or more in basketball. Big 12 is relying on Kansas.
Sure.
Maybe Houston. Kansas State, Houston.
Yeah.
But if you go into, like, you know, if we're talking about baseball, yeah, the SEC can be dominant, but the Big 12, ACC, maybe, but Big 12's not a great baseball school. I mean, it's just, what sport is it that, you know, if we have to go in all sports, why is that a big deal?
Well, and the thing is, but the Big Ten also, though, the Big Ten, you're right. The Big 12's got a great basketball conference. They really do. And we know there's, other conferences, the SEC probably, great baseball conference there. You know what I mean? And great basketball, too. I don't care, though. Yeah. I mean, football's the one that drives it all. If there's one to be number one in,
yep,
it's that.
Tito, I've been saying for years, just break football off. Find a way, break football off. You can still let the money trickle down to the other sports to fund the other programs. I think college athletics are important, and they should be protected, even if they're not generating money. But break football off so we can have a better product on the field. Like, let's just, everybody, I feel like every football fan agrees that there's no reason decisions about college football should be dictated about by, you know, a Big 12 pistol team, you know, and what's equitable to them or anything like that. Like, I don't want to see college programs, even for the smaller sports, close. Those are great outlets for kids. Those are great things that people can be proud of. But, you know, there's just too much money in football and too many questions about what should the structure be? What should the postseason structure be? How many games should we have at the beginning of the season between, you know, other conferences? Because do those even matter now since we're going to have 2014 playoffs? Like, just break them off and then fund the universities through, like, a pool or something.
I made fun of Notre Dame for years.
Yeah, they had it. They figured it out.
What they're doing right now, though, is genius.
Yeah.
It's genius.
Yeah.
And I wish Ohio State could do the same thing and think... It's just, yes, we know money is the answer to everything.
Well, but the thing that I see happening, and I don't want this to happen at all, but at some point, teams like Ohio State and Alabama are going to say, we're so much bigger than the conference we're in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it would be so much better for us to not have to share with everybody in football.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go ahead and create this super conference. That's, I think, the fear of most every conference is what, and granted, like the ACC, we know they have those rules and you got to pay a ton of money and you may end up in court if your school tries to leave the conference. But if you get enough money behind it and these schools can see, wait a minute, if I make a deal straight with the networks.
Yeah.
And go against what the conference isn't thinking mostly of me. They're thinking of we.
Right.
Then that's what I think will end up happening. You know, what's to stop ESPN from going to Ohio State and saying, look, I mean, yeah, you're in with the Big Ten and Fox, but we'll give you this much money just for your brand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we can bring along Alabama. We'll bring along Texas. We'll bring along all these schools. We'll bring in Notre Dame or whatever.
Yeah.
And we'll make this conference.
Well, if something like that happens, would it make sense for Northwestern to keep their football program, for Purdue to keep their football program?
See, that's
program?
Where you, like, have that tiered system, yeah. I think.
That's the thing. It's like in Major League Baseball, they've got that when they do the luxury tax thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the teams that spend way too much have to give some back for the bottom five teams or something, but they also then have to spend some of that money. They can't just sit here and sit on it and say, you know what, we're just lining our pockets with it. We're still going to suck and just take that money. That's kind of what that's what some of these teams in the Big Ten are doing. They are taking that money. How is it Purdue can suck this bad for so long in Maryland? How can they suck this bad? Because how can those schools? But the
Ohio State's making it rain.
I know. And that's, I mean, so that's why I wish they get away from it. But yeah, something's got to change in that.
And so I know that money controls everything, but
yes,
in theory, we're trying to improve competition. We're trying to improve parity amongst teams and make the best teams play the best teams and then let the other teams play each other as well. Mm-hmm. That's, in my mind, that's what these new structures are supposed to be about. I know money's control. Everybody's got their hand in the cookie jar, but in my mind, it is all about how do we make college football more competitive.
I'm telling you, the Premier League and the way
the relegation.
It's
100%.
The relegation.
100%. That's the easiest fix.
Yep.
But the only issue is everybody wants their piece of the pie. And like you said, the conferences aren't going to let up.
Yeah.
They get so much money off of the top teams. Why would they let all of that money be funneled into the top teams?
It's when the conferences are making so much money off of the broadcast rights, but at some point I see the broadcasters saying, you know what, like we have the money to control everything
and the blueprint's already there, like you said. It's just, it's so obvious and it works perfectly for college football because of how many teams are there. But can you do that for college football and not do that for rowing? and not do that for softball.
I think
and stuff
you could.
Like that.
I think you absolutely could. Because then it's college football is the anomaly of all of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's the anomaly. How many Division I basketball teams are there out there that have Division I AA football teams?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. You're right. Yeah. That's and it. Everything. It, people who are longtime college football fans, I'm talking about who go back 30, 40 years watching college football, have to understand it's not going back to that. It, for so long, college football was, first of all, it was very smaller conferences, were very regional.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so streamlined. The Big Ten teams had one goal and one goal only, and that was to play in the Rose Bowl.
Yeah.
That's all they, that was the only thing. The SEC, win the conference, play in the Sugar Bowl. The, you know, the Cotton Bowl for the Big Eight or whatever it was back then, you know, that was their goals.
Yeah.
And everybody in those conferences were regionally aligned, worked towards that together. Now, the goal is not to play in the Rose Bowl. The goal is not to play in the Orange Bowl, the Cotton Bowl. The goal is not to beat the other nine teams in the Midwest, the Big Ten, because now you're going coast to coast, and everyone now, every conference is going towards the same goal, which is win the playoff.
Mm-hmm.
And so because of that, you can't have all these traditions in place, and you can't keep doing the same old, because that's the way we always did it. And as soon as you let Penn State and Nebraska and then Rutgers and Maryland and, you know, Oregon, USC, Washington, UCLA into the Big Ten, all of a sudden, I don't care about Purdue as much as maybe I used to. I don't need to.
You've just inspired me. New structure proposition right here. Yeah. You've got the mega conference,
yeah,
which is made up of, I don't know how many teams, 16 40, to 20.
60. Yeah. I think you might be bigger than that.
Less than 20. And then you go back to those regional conferences.
Yeah.
And then you have whoever the best teams in the regional conferences are, because they'll say four or five regional conferences. Those are the ones who have the opportunity to be promoted to the super conference, and the bottom five teams get pushed back into their regional conference.
Yep. Yeah.
Then you get to keep that beautiful regional rivalry, and you get to see the top teams year after year play against each other.
Imagine having an SEC team, let's say a Tennessee, because Tennessee has some up and down years.
Right.
They're in the major conference, and they've had some losses along the way, so now they're in the bottom two of the major conference, ready to drop down to where they might play some mid-major teams, mm-hmm, or whatever. Tell me that's not going to be compelling television. And on the flip side, you've got that mid-major that has ended up running through the conference, the lower tier, and they've got a chance to move up.
I think we just solved it, fellas. Who do we talk to? How do we get this instituted?
Get Nick Saban on the phone, because he'll be the commissioner.
Let's tell you, the most important person to have on my phone I could call right now, but I don't think I have anybody that important.
You're saying Bobby's not important?
He's the mayor of Columbus. I'd
call
Columbus.
AJ. I'd call AJ first. No,
there you go.
Me. That's what I do.
AJ has more connections at ESPN. Right.
Yes. Coming up next, which football program would you rather be? We will do that next. Fan Sports Saturday.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Bishop and Friends.
He's terrified of the water. Apparently, he snorkeled for the first time.
An Italian guy snorkeling like that is not a good scene. You know, I hope he had some sort of a vest on.
Bishop and Friends, sponsored by Diamond Seller.
Weekdays from 9 to noon on The Fan. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
A few showers possible early Saturday, becoming more scattered throughout the day as temperatures warm into the mid-70s later. Then a few scattered showers, possibly a thunderstorm late afternoon through the early evening. We dry out overnight, and the first half of Sunday stays dry as well as temperatures rise to about 80 degrees. But a stray shower or thunderstorm can't be ruled out Sunday afternoon either. A stray shower is possible. I'm meteorologist Mike Joyce on 97.1 The Fan.
Matty Ice is currently bathing himself in creamy jalapeno dip.
And I've officially run out of ways to tease this show.
Rothman and Ice.
Weekdays at noon.
The Fan. Instead of annoying national people talking to you this weekend, we've opted for annoying local people. This is Fan Sports Saturday.
Fan Sports Saturday. Before we get into the game, pick a hand. I don't know. I was going to say this or that. We've done things like that. A or B. Would you rather? All these different things we've had names for on different shows here. I'm just calling this one pick a hand. I want to tell you this. The Jed Fish from Washington has said that this was his thought on how they should do things with as far as scheduling goes. And here was his idea, was that Jed Fish, the head coach for Washington, by the way, he said, I believe now it should be a 2014 playoff. I believe week one should be Big Ten versus Big 12, SEC versus ACC. Week two should be Big Ten versus SEC, ACC versus Big 12. Week three, then Big Ten versus ACC, SEC versus Big 12. Play the three power conferences, have them play games against each other. Play the nine conference games. If there's somebody else you want to schedule, like a MAC school or something, do it in the preseason. Do like I've said before, the hell with the spring game. Make it a preseason game in August and let OU, Bowling Green, Youngstown State, whatever, come down here playing the horseshoe. Charge 10, 15, 20 bucks a ticket. Get a lot of people in there. Raise money for charity or for the NIL, whatever you want to do. But you could do it that way.
I like that.
I like that idea from Jed Fish as well. I like that better than the 49.5 point favorite over Ball State for them coming in here just to get waxed by Ohio State.
But once again, it's about the money.
It is. It's about the money. You're right. And keep money in state with some of these cases, you know, which is trying to do.
And try to get that big payday for the smaller school.
All right, speaking of Big Ten versus SEC, I'm going to give you guys two teams. And I'm going to do this for, I don't know, 8-9 times. Anyway, you tell me which team, which football program would you rather be right now? You can think about the next couple years. I'm not talking about the past. I'm talking about right now, going forward, the next couple years. Which team would you which school would you rather be for as far as football goes? We'll start with the first one here. USC or LSU?
LSU.
You got to be LSU.
LSU. It's going to be hard to be unbiased about, but LSU for this one.
Northwestern or Vanderbilt?
Vanderbilt.
I'd say Northwestern.
Northwestern's got a new stadium opening up.
New
you got
stadium,
Chip Kelly now as the OC.
Chip Kelly.
Vanderbilt.
I mean, you just lost Diego's
gone.
Pavia.
The 4.5 foot Diego Pavia.
But they are a tough team. They're a scrappy little team in the SEC.
And Northwestern, I feel like every other year threatens to close their football program.
It seems that way. So, but they got a new stadium opening up
now.
That's
pretty nice digs right on the lake.
Right there on the lake, too. Okay. Wisconsin or Arkansas?
Ooh.
Wisconsin. I know they're struggling. I know Fickle's having a hard time. I believe in Fickle, but I like the Wisconsin program in general more than Arkansas.
I would tend to agree. Arkansas sucks.
Yeah. They do. I think I'd take Wisconsin there, too. I guess they get my picks there. I would take LSU. I would take Northwestern. I would take Wisconsin. Penn State or Texas A&M?
I trash Penn State so much, but I'd take Penn State.
I think A&M's
got so much money. Penn State is...
A couple years ago, Penn State was almost in the championship game.
Yeah, but the only good thing there is that Matt Campbell's coming into a situation where they were so fed up with what happened.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think his ceiling might be pretty low to start with.
Okay.
But I just don't think you can compete with the money at A&M.
People keep saying that, but what has A&M done?
Well, true, but just a couple years ago they were right there, in the playoffs, weren't they? The year Ohio State won it.
Yeah,
they're really good at buying out coaches too. They're really good at that.
Yeah, I'm not convinced A&M's going to have any more success than they've had in the past. I think Penn State is one of those that has the opportunity to really get back to Get back to some, what was it, in the 80s when they had former glory or something?
Oh, God, the early 90s even. 94 was the year with Kajana and Kerry Collins. And Kyle Brady the tight end there?
Juravicious.
Juravicious, yeah, when they won the national championship there, didn't they? They won it that year? No, they didn't. I think they won the Rose Bowl, but yeah, they did. I think they can be just as competitive as
A&M, or maybe a little less competitive. But they were hindered by James Franklin, and then for whatever reason, the same copy paste mediocre quarterback that they would always recruit. Those two, they got rid of James Franklin. Now, you know, hopefully they can actually have a decent quarterback at some point. I think there's more hope for Penn State. Or the ceiling's higher for Penn State.
I think I would take A&M. I think the money thing, though, is what, just because I think that they can that they can figure out a way to overcome things easier than Penn State can. But it's close. This one, admittedly, now as I read it out loud, I will tell you I was not drinking last night, but this might be easier, though, than this might be the easiest one so far. UCLA or Florida?
I'd say
Okay, in fact, you pause. Maybe it's not that bad.
I'm going UCLA. I'm also
you're going UCLA there.
I don't believe in Florida. UCLA is not a good squad, but they got money.
They got a new coach coming in this year.
New coach coming in. Florida's been a disappointment ever since Urban left. So I'm not.
But see, I feel like with Florida, there's a better chance with recruiting there.
Mm-hmm.
That UCLA has not been able to consistently bring in big time recruits.
It's not a football school.
It's not a football school.
A better atmosphere at Florida games too. A better environment.
Yeah. And you're right in the South, which is the hotbed of, you know, football recruiting. So I think Florida just sometimes can't get out of its own way.
True.
Maybe I've been doing a bad job being unbiased.
It's okay. Here we go.
I don't like Florida.
No, I don't either. Illinois or Ole Miss?
Oh, the fat Bielemas.
I say Illinois. Ole Miss just lost their coach. Mm-hmm. Last Saturday, I already told you how I felt about Ole Miss.
Yep.
I think that last year was their chance, okay, and then their coach ditched them.
Yeah.
So I don't think that they're going to be a consistent contender in the
SEC.
What's
his name coming back at quarterback, though?
I think it's all in the court still.
Okay.
I'm not sure. But again, there's probably been several rulings. I'm not sure which the most recent one is. You know, I'm not sure. You know,
Do you think Ole Miss is better than Illinois?
Like,
just the team. Illinois looks half decent.
Illinois last year. And you talk about your biases. I'll tell you mine. Because I was convinced when I was in Vegas last year, Illinois was going to put up a fight against Indiana.
I thought so, too.
And in Champaign, it's like, this is going to be a close game. I look up, it was like 45-12.
But Indiana was the best college football team
of
all time.
But I didn't think Illinois was that far behind them.
I think going into this season, they're a lot closer in talent than they were last season.
Mm-hmm.
I think last season, Ole Miss was definitely the better team.
Right.
I think Ole Miss will always have an advantage in recruiting. I think Illinois is, they definitely, even though they, like you said, got crushed by Indiana, they didn't look terrible last year.
No.
And I think they're a younger team. And even against Ohio State went out there and it wasn't very easy for them. I mean, we ended up winning by a few scores, but it was tough there early. So I'd probably go Illinois.
Iowa or Oklahoma?
Oklahoma.
Easy for you on that one.
Yeah. Easy.
Easy for you too?
You got to go Oklahoma, but I don't like Oklahoma.
I like
Iowa. I respect Iowa, but they're just not as good as Oklahoma.
Iowa is just caught in this, you know, until Ferentz decides that he's going to, I mean, he's just going to die there.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's right. He's going to die. That's what he's going to die. Yes, he will.
And until they can move away from that, it's,
Washington or Tennessee?
Washington.
Yeah.
Oh, easy, that one. Last one, Oregon or Bama?
Oregon.
Bama.
Easy on that one.
It's not even a question. Bama's,
really?
Yeah. Well, they just paid that coach a whole bunch of money, too.
They did.
So they're excited to have more 9-3 or 9-4 seasons.
Until DeBoer shows me that he can coach well at Alabama and recruit well, doing both, I would say Oregon is the easy upper choice.
I don't think Oregon's winning a national championship anytime soon, but I think they're every year they're going to be a contender.
Okay, last one then. There's a bonus one, not even on my sheet. Oregon or Georgia?
I'd say I would still go Oregon.
You'd still go Oregon?
I would go Georgia. They don't look as good as they were during their heyday, but I still think the recruiting grounds, Kirby Smart, I think that at any given time, Georgia could win a national championship, and I just don't believe Oregon can. That's how I feel. Like, I don't know what's been going on with them the last couple years, but I just think that they do have the talent, they do have the pedigree to actually win a title, when I just don't think Oregon, for whatever reason, can compete in the, like, top three teams in the country.
And what if I tell you that your quarterback, not this upcoming season, the year after that, though, could be Dylan Raiola at Oregon? Does that change your answer at all? Because I hate Dylan Raiola.
Yeah, Georgia.
Give me Vandy, give me Purdue, give me Northwestern. Yeah. It might be a bit extreme there, but yes, I don't. So Dylan Raiola, though, goes there to do the backup. Sorry, that was fun. Coming up next in 2 minutes, poof, David Copperfield, magic ain't real. We'll do that next. This is Fan Sports Saturday.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Jackets flagship station since day one. All the goals, all the action, all the memories. Your home for the Columbus Blue Jackets, the Fan, Ohio sports destination. Sports talk, weekend style. You're listening to Fan Sports Saturday.
Final segment of the program here, folks. Reds baseball up next against the Cardinals. Thank you to all of you for tuning in today with us and being alive in the chat with us. We appreciate that. Pablo Torre recently was informed that he won a Pulitzer for his work on the Kawhi Leonard, taking money from a company out in L.A. that may have circumvented the NBA salary cap. And so he received that. But now his most recent thing he did, told us magic isn't real. O's the mentalist. And if you never heard his name before, you probably call him Oz. I've heard people do that in social media or like on radio and stuff like that. They've called him, not social media, they've called him Oz. It's O's. O's the mentalist, O's Perlman, has done the amazing mind-reading tricks he likes to do out there. You've seen it with NFL camps, the Jets, the Rams, the Cowboys, the Bills. He did something with Charles Barkley recently. And he decided now, Pablo Torre talked to a couple magicians, one specifically, a guy he knows. He calls himself a mentalist, but he O's kind of puts himself out there as somebody who's done like some TED Talks. I think he may have done a book or something as well about how you can read people's minds. And Pablo comes out and says that's not true. He went through and did some studying on it and talked to other magicians about it. And a full episode of his show, Pablo Torre founds out, is called Debunking O's Perlman's Tricks. Is He a Fraud? Fraud's a tough word, but
I want to know, who are the people that thought that this was real?
That's okay.
What I'm wondering.
When you see the way it's presented, though.
I know. I've seen
that's
it.
That's what I'm wondering.
But there's I know it's a trick.
Tito's sitting there like, I thought he was reading minds.
Oh, listen. No, wait. No, I'm gonna tell you this. Wait. Let me tell you this right now. Okay. I totally want to believe magic is real.
Yeah.
I totally want to believe. I know it's not, but the stuff he did were like,
it's incredible.
You know, the random things he'll have you think of or throw out.
It's amazing. I want professional wrestling to be real, but it's not.
I do think, I mean, he's absolutely amazing to watch.
Yeah.
But I thought that he wasn't, I haven't like watched his interviews and stuff. I see his tricks.
Yeah.
But I always thought it was like a magician. You know, yeah. I didn't think he was reading people's minds as much as he was maybe reading their body language, but maybe he's not even
ways
doing that
to get people to tell things without,
yeah,
them
like
knowing
a poker
they're
player
telling,
or
yeah,
something. But like, I always kind of viewed it the same way I view Chris Angel or David Blaine, is like,
yeah,
they have a specific set of skills that they kind of like guide people towards. Now, how he incorporates that with a random dollar bill in your pocket, mm-hmm, I have no idea. That yeah, stuff is blows my mind. But yeah, I didn't think that people thought he was literally using telepathy.
You mean those women aren't sawed in half on stage?
I don't know that. I haven't looked for scars. But Pablo Torre talked to an amateur musician named musician too.
Musician.
Right, he's also a magician though. That's how good he is. He doesn't play guitar, but he looks like he does. A guy named Stevie Baskin, and they went through and looked at it, and they said that he uses tactics in pre-show conversations that border on fraud. And one of the things that I remember reading about this now that came out, though, was when he did the thing with Barkley, he asked Barkley to name like a random player. And he made a comment on it, something along those, but now you gave me two. I gave you two pre-show kind of thing. Like, so maybe they had a conversation before, and like, whether it was one of the other guys, and somehow you know, O's able to look into Barkley's eyes, see which he was thinking of. There was another one where he uses some kind of trick with Google Mirror, which I'm not familiar with what that is, but apparently if you type in something on a tablet or whatever, O's had a way of seeing what you typed. And he was talking to somebody about picking this random NFL player, and the player was Breece Hall. But the guy, the other NFL player typed in Bryce Hall in like the Google search thing. And so when O's revealed that he called him Bryce Hall, because he just read.
Well, maybe he was using telepathy and he used the guy's Bryce. The guy was thinking that Bryce. Too.
That's it. We're going to give you the benefit of the doubt here, Tito, so that you will be able to prove it was real.
Yes. So that is what he did. And that's, and I don't know what's going to happen now with this. I've always enjoyed watching O's crap. I
still believe.
Well, when did this came out this week?
Yeah.
Or okay, because I would think if O's could refute it,
right,
he would have done it immediately. But O's is quiet.
Yeah.
So I think that tells you everything you need to know.
Maybe he's just trying to generate the chatter, and then he's going to have Pablo on and just blow his mind too.
I don't got it.
I don't know. I love watching his videos. I think they're
very entertaining.
I don't understand how he does it.
Yeah, they are very entertaining for sure. But it just, it's, and that's the other part to do. I know Coward kind of was calling out Pablo Torre for doing that because saying like, look, this is what you're going to, like, this is where you're devote your time to is just proving a magician. Is it really
well
doing magic?
Coward's career is magic.
Yeah.
That's the fact that he's been able to keep a career.
He did other things too, like when he was, when he picked like, he picked Joe Rogan's PIN number.
Yeah,
he picked Sarah Haynes from The View, her PIN number. But there was something also that Perlman said. The Baskin, this is what the amateur musician or magician, the one we'll call him now, said that Perlman told both Haynes and Rogan to come up with a fake PIN, and then either add or subtract their real PIN from that number, and then check the backlogs of the phone calculator to see what they typed.
Yeah, how?
I don't know how that works, but...
Or a situation where, like... Somehow, over the course of whatever his performance is, he gets people to generate random numbers, and then he's like,
"Yeah,
well, what's your birthday?" Or
right,
just so, like, how much research does he have to do on the people that he's about to interact with to know all of these specific things and be able to tie them together? I don't know. He's amazing.
You cannot tell me that there aren't plants. You can't tell me that even just plants to observe people. And pass that information on. You can't tell me when these magicians and mentalists and all that don't have some of that.
It's possible. Because how else?
Yeah.
How else are they doing this stuff?
But here's the part that's tough for me, that bothers me, is that it's like, I trust Barkley. You know, that guy.
That's your first problem.
Well, I hope it's not, but I'm saying I hope he is not in on it.
Yeah.
And when you see his NFL players, you know, a lot of these guys, you start thinking like, man, like, I want to believe this is all.
I don't think that most of them are in on it. I really don't. Yeah. I truly don't believe they're in on it. They just, there are these gives that they can give to them without even knowing.
I think just to be safe, we put them in a barrel, throw them in the water. If he makes it out, he's a magician. If he doesn't, then he's a fraud.
And if he plays guitar, he's a musician. I mean, it's just, but
we need to get to the bottom of it, Tito.
You go to think that Pablo Torre does, though, that whole thing with the Kawhi Leonard stuff, you know, and how in depth that was. Yeah. It goes from that to this.
Yeah. A little switch up. He's tired of the Pulitzer stuff.
That's the part that just seemed odd to me. Are we still looking good with the Reds game going off on time?
As far as I've been able to see, I just checked, and there are no delays.
I know we got a message about that too, saying keep an eye on the Reds communications. Looks like we're good. Thank you, Michael Bennett.
It's a great time.
As always, thank you, Big Mo.
Wonderful.
Thank you, Jamal Luke, for joining us. Thank you to, you know, Pablo Torre for ruining magic for me. I appreciate that. Stick around, folks. The Reds maybe have two games coming up next right here on 97.1 The Fan.
Give me a mountain with lots to do. Give me the sunshine. Give me a dew. Give me something simple and true. All I need is sunshine and a cool refreshing mountain dew. So give me my good friends. Give me a...
Grab some friends and an ice-cold Mountain Dew today.
Mountain Dew!
Our show is over. Our show is over. Please enjoy this random game between two teams you may or may not care about. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
That is very true. Don't forget, though, you can bet on what's going to happen at the Garden later on in this series, maybe in Cleveland for tonight with the Knicks and the Cavs. Over at BetMGM, when the games get bigger, the crowds get louder, the excitement reaches a new level. Be part of the playoff action.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.